I'm a little behind.
No, you're a big ass.
Oh,
I couldn't let it up.
And there's our show opener.
Big ass.
Hey, Barry, fuck you. All right? There you go, buddy boy.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Cure him! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael. The virtual review. Tonight, Joel vapes, Michael flashes, and Barry wah-wahs. All that and more on Late Night. Pause. Cure him! And now, digitally gathering to watch Barty show off his new mini iPhone XE. Yeah, Barty, I see what you mean about that new iPhone fitting better in your small little hands.
I do not have small hands, you dickless wonder.
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 214. Nothing special about that, 214. Oh, well. From the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from the Hillsboro area in New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And I think this is two shows in a row. I'm actually in Studio V.
Ooh,
welcome to Late Night QRM after sunset. We got to keep the theme going. This is Michael, the virtual Eeper, by the way.
Isn't that what? Oh, late night after sunset. Okay. I get it.
Marshall McLuhan. Well,
yeah, I heard
after
it.
Hours and after dark.
But you know,
so
all
they did what I did.
All late night shows on television record around 5 or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, the problem is this time of year, late night doesn't mean anything because it doesn't get dark until close to midnight here.
Well, no, it's starting to get dark here already. As we speak, so yeah. Not for some of us. Yes, for you. We live up near the North Pole. So, but one thing that's happened since the last time we talked, and it's been a couple of weeks. Sorry about that. My fault last week. I had to make a trip down to Wawa Land, which I'll talk about later, but. So we had to postpone the recording of this show until this week. But one thing's for sure from the last time we all talked, it got hot.
Oh, yeah.
The air conditioners are in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Darn it, you know, it almost hit 68 degrees here last week. I didn't know what to do.
Almost 68.
Wow. We hit Woo! 90 this... Was it this past week, or was it the week before? I
the week before, the week we were before. Low 90s.
Yeah.
Ow.
So, and we're not getting a lot of rain here, at least in New Hampshire. So, things are getting pretty dry, although it's supposed to rain tomorrow. So.
Yeah, here
to
rain too.
Next, yeah, it's supposed to rain Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this next coming week.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, good. We need it.
Well,
my grass
no,
is burning out already.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever.
You're digging all yours up.
Well, the funny thing is you mentioned the grass is burning up. Dr. Kenny was out on the tractor, and he was going to cut all the lawn down and do the big first cut, if you will, of the season, because I'm pretty much sure in another week the hay, the grass in the back of the house will be able to hay it. And, of course, he was speed shifting on the old tractor, and boom, broke the tractor.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, well, the shifter snapped off in his hand.
Ouch.
That's not good.
Now, as I said to him, you know, because I came out of my house and tractor's in the middle. Well, actually, he was just getting ready to start the beginning of the mowing, and Debbie and I were getting ready to go out. When we got back, there's the tractor in the middle of his front yard, surrounded by tall grass on three sides and one cut path. And I went, I know Matoska was with us as well, and he said, "Hey, Dad, why is the tractor just sitting in the middle of the tall grass?" I said, "Kenny probably got drunk and fell off of it." This is when he went out to go cut the grass. He brought himself a 1 liter bottle of 7 and 7s.
Yeah, that's the only way to cut grass. Yeah,
absolutely. You're going to cut grass. You're going to cut grass with a really positive attitude. And so, it got broke. It's fixed now, but today was one of those days where it was no point in us cutting grass because we dug up the whole entire front property again with the backhoe.
Yeah. But don't you have goats?
Yeah.
Don't goats eat grass?
Yeah, they will. They will, but you still got to... I mean, they kind of wander about, so you kind of have to contain them in the area you want chewed down.
Oh.
So you can actually, put a harness on them and pin them like a long lead like you can a dog. You put the, put the spike in the ground and a long lead, the body harness on there, and they'll work in that radius.
Yeah.
But my beautiful bride has another area already earmarked for them to remove all the overgrowth and where the new goat. Well, we have got a new trailer.
I saw the video.
Yep,
the trailer's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and it's in the area where the goats are at, and there's all kind of overgrown there. So it's like, okay, put out mango on pancake, and they'll clear out all the overgrowth. Hmm. So I got to build a ramp for the inside to get in the trailer. But it's really nice. It's a horse trailer.
Yeah,
old one, but it's a horse trailer. It's going to be great for the goats.
That'll be fantastic for them. Yeah, I remember one year. Well, it used to be PSNH. It's now Eversource, but we have high power lines that run along probably about a half a mile back from the house.
Yep.
So it's got the path that grows, and one year I remember they hired or contracted out the removal of the growth of the underbrush and everything to this guy with a whole bunch of goats, and he just slowly had the goats go down the field and eat everything.
And they do.
Yeah.
They do a bang up job. Yeah. They just, so that said, it's so they've got some work earmarked out, but we had some digging to do, so the grass had to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of 7 and 7s, let's find out what everybody's drinking tonight.
Now everybody's dying, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Michael, you're up.
So, tonight I'm drinking a special edition of Brickside Brewery beer, Red Amber, the 3-2 edition.
Ooh.
Which was an accident, but a number of us are actually asking him to continue brewing this particular version. Nice. Because there were a couple different versions that came out lighter than normal as far as alcohol content. This was normally in the 5% or higher for the Red Amber. And the other one that was affected heavily was the Stone Ship, which is normally 18 to 20 proof. The Stone Ship came in at like 7%, so they're calling this batch Wooden Boat. I started making reference to wooden ships on the water, but nobody in the bar had any idea what I was saying. So I was like, oh, these young kids.
CSN fans, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. But the Red Amber has got all the taste, but I can drink three of these pints to one of the Stone Ships and still, by the time I get done with the third one, I still have my head on. So as you know how potent this stuff can be.
Yes. Right. When's he coming out with Shipwreck?
Shipwreck?
Shipwreck. That was two of those, and you are.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Stone Ship is definitely Shipwreck.
And then once you get the marijuana legal up there, then you can come out with the Stoned Ship.
Well, it's legal for medical purposes up here.
Oh, okay.
And basically all you have to tell the doctor is that you got a headache, and they'll write you Prescription.
Got a headache, he hands you a joint.
Yeah. Oh, they give you a prescription for a joint, and then you go...
Doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Or go to the dispensary.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to the dispensary. One of the local ones up here. But anyhow, yeah, it's I got a growler of this last week, and I just opened it tonight. I just... With certain circumstances going on right now, I really haven't felt a lot like drinking. I'm sure that'll change between July 8th and July 10th. But right now, on the left side. Anyhow, how are you, Joel?
I am having the classic Christian Brothers Brandy and Coke.
All right. And I'm having something new. I don't have Seagram's, so I created the Jiminy 7. So
Jiminy 7. That's wow.
That's Diet 7-Up with, well, Jim Beam. And a splash of orange juice.
Ooh. Hmm. Well, you got to get your vitamin C in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's a way. It's a health drink.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, Barty?
I'm enjoying the last of my Crevassier cognac.
Ooh la la.
Fine stuff.
Speak French to us, Barty. I know, you can't.
Nope.
Even though you're French-Canadian, you can't speak French.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Started school a year late because I didn't have enough English, and now I can't speak any French.
All right, well, let's go on to Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
I was thinking about speeding this up to double time.
But it wouldn't be peaceful then.
Yeah, it's true. It kind of settles us down a bit. So, well, we already talked about the first couple of things, unless, Joel, you got something to add. Air conditioners.
Nope. Actually, one little tidbit. It's the little cabin in the woods does not require the same number of window ACs as our apartment that we had in Nashua. I'm down to 2 to cool the whole house.
Nice. Did you try 4 or 6? And you know.
Well, he doesn't want to get refrigerated.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be able to hang meat from the newly installed drywall on the ceiling. You know, it's literally, do we have 2... one bedroom AC and one that's a little bit bigger. I think it's a 7,000 BTU. Cools the whole house down.
Nice.
And so that's a relief rather than having. For those who didn't know, at one time I was 5 always and up to 6.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. We don't have any air conditioners here. None of our windows will take them.
We have 2 downstairs. I have one up here in the QRM Studios, which is conveniently turned off because it does cause background noise, but it's cooled down tonight, so I've got the lovely QRM windows open, and they seem to be cooling down the place nicely. But we have one that's on wheels and it has a hose that goes up to a window.
Yep.
And I forget how many BTUs that is or whatever, but that thing pretty much cools down the entire lower level of the main house. Mm-hmm. And then we got another big one that we put in. It's a window air conditioner that we put in the family room, which is our breezeway between the garage and the main house. And that thing, cools the family room down, and it actually augments the other one. So we pretty much have all air conditioning downstairs. And then upstairs at night, if it gets too... Nights usually aren't a problem. So, but we do have a small window unit for the master bedroom. And that
muggy nights.
Yeah, muggy nights, but that's usually an exception more than the rule in the summertime here, because it usually cools down pretty nice. And you can get away with a window fan just pumping in the cold air from outside.
Right.
Yep, it is that time of year, and everything is green and lush. And, it's woods out in front of, through the QRM studio windows now. Yes, it's very nice. Very nice indeed. Michael.
Well, things are greening up here, but it's still that time of year where we're still running the furnace part of the day in the house and up here at the office, actually.
Wow.
But, yeah, this next subject, actually, for those on social media, if, you'll recognize what I'm getting to. But a week ago, I think it was a week ago now, went to go make pork chops and kind of seasoned everything in the pan, you know, put some olive oil on both sides, got it all going. Weather was kind of crappy outside, so I decided to put it in the broiler in the oven. Put the pork chops in, got some baby beans and carrots, and mixed them up in a ceramic frying pan on top of the oven with more olive oil and more spices, and everything is just smelling good. And I'm looking at the pork chops, and just one more minute. And all of a sudden, poof! And the entire oven is glowing orange.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, crap. And I look in and I open up the door, the oven door, and immediately flames are lapping out over the lip of the stove, the range top there, and going over and wrapping it around. And there's smoke and crap everywhere. And through all of it, I could see four perfectly cooked pork chops. And I'm like, got him.
Save the pork chops!
And I'm trying to figure out a way to get this out, but the olive oil had ignited. I mean, I've been making them this way for years. The olive oil just ignited all around it, and it was really gone. And I'm like, God, no, no. And, you know, there's meep, 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 meep in the background as the smoke detector goes off. And, you know, the house is filling up with smoke, and I'm seeing black marks now on the front of the stove. And my only concern is save the pork chops. Find a way to save the pork chops. If I could have, I would have taken a Twitter picture, but it was getting a little intense. And then I'm thinking, yeah, shit, you know, I'm a fireman. This is going to really look bad if I burn the house down trying to save the pork chops. And I went, oh, gosh. At which point, now Chris is in the kitchen. I said, Chris, reach around and get the fire extinguisher.
Oh.
And it just took one into, you know, just one kick. It's a chemical fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Oosh! Flames are out instantly. And then it went through the vent, through the top of the stove, out the vent, completely covering the vegetables I had just stirred.
Oh, geez. The whole dinner's wrecked.
The whole dinner's wrecked. And the pork chops still smelled really good.
Oh, you're like, I wonder if I can rinse them off.
this was an all fire extinguisher.
That's, wow. You know what you got to do? Here's a great business idea. Flavored fire extinguishers.
Let's all have some peanut butter and jelly, please.
Now there's this white powder settling all over the kitchen. The stove is just black from, you know, the oven door on up. I've got really good smelling, but, you know, contaminated pork chops and ruined vegetables. And Chris and I look at each other and we both at the same time go,
grab your coat.
Pizza we're tonight? Going so out. Good. I walked in Mariner about 9 o'clock as we pick up my order, and the two servers said, hey, so you're in a pizza mood tonight. And I said, no, I set the oven on fire. And they stopped and looked at me. And they're like joking, right? And like, no, fire extinguisher and all. What happened? I don't know if anybody's following this, but there has been a olive oil shortage. And because of that, the price of olive oil is skyrocketing.
So they're cutting it with kerosene or something?
Well, no, my wife is trying to stretch things a little bit because things are pretty tight for us right now. And she got this big quart container of olive oil, but instead of being extra virgin, it was extra light.
Oh, flash point.
Hence the title. I think it has a much lower flash point because I didn't do anything different than I haven't been doing for years.
Yeah.
And by the way, is it Thursday night? Thursday night, I used extra virgin olive oil with the same recipe, same cut of pork chops, same temperature, and this time, beepity beepity beep from the smoke alarm. But it took me probably 2 days to get that oven and stovetop cleaned out enough that I felt comfortable using it again without any added chemicals.
Yeah.
And it got in the cabinet. I mean, it really got in everywhere. I mean, it was in the cabinets for the pots and everything else.
Really?
It was just blast in the oven, but it got everywhere.
Jeez.
I guess it's designed to do that.
So. Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
Put out that fire. Wow. Well, speaking of, well, the lack of cigarettes, Joel, you're next.
Well, for those seven listeners that we have, they know that I have off and on. I used to smoke cigarettes, and then I had quit for years while actually doing radio QRM. I didn't smoke at all. I didn't smoke for 5.5 years, 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I got a whole new line of work at the same company that I was at, and stressed and blah, 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 blah. And it just became convenient. I picked them back up again. Well, I stopped, said, nope, enough's enough. Put them down, and I started smoking a pipe. And I enjoyed the pipe, but the pipe can be kind of an arduous pain in the ass to fiddle around with. And stress kicked in again, and I started smoking cigarettes again. Well, my beautiful bride, for my birthday, now this is a little, it's an early birthday gift, picked me up, and she said, you know, I know you've been saying you want to quit smoking cigarettes. I'm like, yep, I really don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. And I never really considered it. She did this all on her own and researched it. Vaping. And lo and behold, she said, well, it's on. She says, I got you a vape system. And I went, huh? And she said, yep. And here you can put the flavors in and do this and do that. And I literally knew very, very, very a minuscule amount about it. So I start to research it a bit and research it a bit and read about it some more. And today, my beautiful bride and I stopped by the vape shop, tobacco shop in Hillsboro. And then I walk in, and it's not like a head shop. You know, people think, oh, it's a head shop, bunch of stoners. No, it's like a regular, it's like a cigar store.
They actually have one in Jaffrey now.
Yeah, you go in, they got shelves, they got the flavors, they do have nicotine here at different potencies and different levels, different vape systems. Some, you know, I got a starter kit one here called the, what the hell is this thing? The Halo, like the game.
Hmm. It's not the kind that blows up in your pocket though, right?
No, this is, it's one of the things we checked for.
Yeah.
And, they said, here, try this. And I'm like, so they give you like one with a, you know, those little protective cover tip. It's your own tip.
Yeah, condom.
And that's it. And I'm like, yeah, thank you very much for that. And he said, well, I'm like, what flavor is this? He says, try it. And I went, holy shit, it tastes like apples. Oh, I said, cool. Yep, apple. And then he said, what's this one? And so I went and picked the, they call it juice, e-juice. Mm-hmm. And the flavors that I liked, and then they said, well, what do you smoke for cigarettes? I said, Marlboro Blacks. And they're menthol. And they said, okay, how much do you smoke? I said, I don't smoke at work. I don't smoke while I drive. I don't smoke when I'm outside. But the only time I really smoke is when I'm sitting my fat ass in that chair playing Tom Clancy's Division or Call of Duty, watching, looking at the TV. Then I'll probably go through a pack of cigarettes will last me 3 days. And they said, oh, so there's a table, and they figured out, well, what your nicotine intake is. And so I am currently right now vaping Planet of the Grape, which is grape flavored. It's freaking delicious. I have no craving whatsoever for a cigarette at all. This does have nicotine in it. It's 3 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
And but what it doesn't have is all the other wonderful 177 other chemicals that are in cigarettes. You know, yeah, little things like rat poisoning, tar, arsenic, toluene, cyanide, jet fuel, cow, whatever the hell else they're putting in there. This is just flavor and nicotine. And son of a bitch, I have no craving whatsoever for a cigarette. Cool. So, yeah. So when I go up MMPR, and a lot of places, bars will allow vaping, that they don't allow smoking inside because this isn't smoke, it's vapor. But yeah, so I'm pretty jazzed about it.
Cool.
And it doesn't stink up the house. There's no smell at all.
And what's it take? What kind of batteries? Does it take batteries?
Yes, it has a battery in the base unit that's built in to the system that I have, this Halo system. And then you recharge it with a USB charger.
Really?
you unthread it, you pop it right on your USB charger that comes with it, plug it into your laptop, and you get 300 charges, and the charges from dead to topped off, they say, is about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Two and a half to 3 hours. So they get 400 full charges, and then it starts to, the battery will peter off from there.
Mm.
So it'll last months.
And can you do you turn it on and off? Does it have an on-off?
Yes, switch? There's a button on here. The button is pretty neat design, actually. There's a little mini circuit board in there. Mm-hmm. So on one charge, a vape will last 2 to 3 days.
Hmm. Wow.
On a charge.
Yeah.
And you get 300 charges out of them. And there's a button on the side to turn it off and turn it on, so you save your battery. You click it. I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah.
Five times. Five times turns it off. So if you have it in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
and your keys bump up against it, you're not turning the damn thing on.
Okay. Does it repel bugs?
Absolutely not. That's where cigarettes do win, because they repel mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well, maybe they make one with, what's that stuff? The candles?
Some DEET or something.
Yeah, start vaping DEET.
Vape some DEET.
What are you vaping? Deep Woods.
It's off.
Deep Woods off.
I believe this is Cutter.
I got the Cutter online for $1 cheaper.
Oh, jeez. <Yeah. laughs> This is DDT. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, and that'll do it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not smoking cigarettes, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And if you really wanted to wean yourself off of it eventually, you can get less and less
nicotine in your shoes.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the idea.
Yeah.
You just wean yourself off of it.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, I guess I'm next. And I just wanted to say, yeah, we didn't record last week because I got a call from my sister. And I've mentioned this before. My dad's 93, going on 94 this year. And he's in assisted living. But he, a few weeks ago, he fell and got a green stick fracture in one of his legs. So they had to put him in a cast, and he was in rehab. Well, while he was in rehab, he started coughing up some stuff, and he wasn't doing well, so they took him to the hospital, and they put him in the ICU for a couple of days. They did some tests and found out he had somehow contracted MRSA, which put him into quarantine for a while. Because that's one of those super bugs, and it's hard to, basically, the way to get rid of it is they hit you with every antibiotic they possibly can, like a cocktail of them. Michael would know more about that probably than I do, but they got him out of, he came out of ICU, and he was in the hospital for a while, but my dad got used to being waited on. That's the problem. And then he went back to the rehab because he was still supposed to be doing that. And he's pretty much getting the rehab people to wait on him hand and foot, which they will do. But he can only spend so much time there, and then he's trying to get him back to assisted living. Well, if he goes back to assisted living, it's assisted living. It's not, full help, right, and everything. And he's got to be able to be a little bit mobile, either in a wheelchair or with a walker. And he's got to be able to go down for his meals and stuff. And he was, I went down for a visit and with him. And he was talking to my oldest sister, who is basically the major caretaker for him right now. And he's basically telling her how we've got to get the assisted living place to be able to have him eat in his room and not have to go down for meals, and they should just bring his meals up to him. And you can eat in your room, but you either go down and get your meal and bring it back, or you cook it in your room, because they have like a small stove and things like that. Right. But no, he wanted room service. And he goes, oh, and we're going to have to get him to be able to put an IV in if I need it and everything. And it's like, and we all told him, it's like, nah, Dad, if you need an IV, you're going to the hospital. They don't do that there. You know? But, yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit since I've seen him, and he's, you know, he's getting older. That's all I can say. If you've ever dealt with someone that's getting older, and in his case, you know, 93 going on 94, his mind's starting to go a little bit. There's a little bit of dementia in there. I look at it as like his short-term memory's going, and because he doesn't remember what you just told him, and he repeats things, and it's just what it is, you know. I don't want to say it is what it is,
but it is what it is.
I mean, eventually, if we're all lucky enough to hit 93, 94, it's going to happen to all of us, you know. It's tough to watch him decline, right. And my sisters see it on a almost daily basis, you know, so they're always down there, so we're trying to do that. Meanwhile, also my sister's trying to sell his house, and so I was down there. We were going over some last bit of things that were down there, because they pretty much cleared out the entire house, and all we got left is a garage full of stuff, and it's mostly old pictures and things like that. And of course, you know, I really don't care about a lot of the crap, you know. You know, but pictures, I'm like, oh, don't throw out the pictures. I'll take the pictures. I don't care if I don't know who they are. I'll take the pictures. Anne-Marie loves looking at the old pictures. She's really big into doing the genealogy thing right now with Ancestry.com, and she also goes off to other sites and everything. And I think she's got a segment of our family on the Furnival side down to 14 something over in England. And so we're down to the 15th century on some things. Now, this isn't the complete Furnival branch. It's a branch off of a branch off of a branch. You know,
that's how it works.
Still pretty cool, though.
Yeah. She loves it, because she used to be a researcher, you know. So this is, you know, she's sucking all this up, and then we got all these old pictures that we're going through, and I'm gonna scan them all in, and then we're gonna put some of them up on Ancestry.com, because I think it's really cool when people post actually pictures and some documents and stuff. And I've got original birth certificates and things like that. I've got train passes from my great grandfather. They were in his wallet. He carried them around. And they're train passes for Philadelphia for work.
Yeah.
That from 1898.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
So we've got those, and again, I want to preserve it as much as possible, because things are falling apart. We've got one photo album, the paper and everything's falling completely apart. So we're trying to, you know, save the pictures that are posted on them, get them off, and again, like I said, I want to digitize everything.
Yep.
I got my dad's old radio books, because in World War II, he was a corporal in World War II, but he was stationed over in England, and he's with the Signal Corps, and they maintained and kept all the radios and the bombers and the fighters and everything. So that was his job over there. So, and of course, he went through a tech school, and I've got all the old tech books now.
Wow, that's neat.
How about that?
Yeah, from when he was there, and pictures of England all over the place, and old pictures. My great grandfather, my great great grandfather, found out my great grandfather, the one that came over from England and married into the Mason family here in Virginia, found out. They eloped. They took off on a 3 a.m. train because she was 3 months pregnant.
Oh, that can't happen.
Yeah. So he was the black sheep of the family anyway, supposedly. That's why he was sent to the United States, because he didn't want to become a minister. You know, like all the other people in the family over in England. So anyway,
what fun is that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, it's fun. Of course, through the Mason line, she took that back in the Virginia, and yeah, we're actually related to Robert E. Lee, like 15th cousin removed or something.
Wow.
But and of course Robert E. Lee is related to two Lees that are actually signers of the Declaration of Independence. So yeah, so it's interesting. She's having a ball doing it. Yeah. I was getting ready to cut off Ancestry because it's rather expensive to be a full member, but she's doing it almost every day on there and checking things out, and I said, ah, what the heck, you know, she enjoys it and it's well worth it. I mean, it's one of her hobbies now.
All right.
So, but anyway, so I was down in, of course, I in the show notes I said I was down in the land of Wawa. No, I wasn't up in Canada. I was the land of Wawa to anybody on the East Coast means the Philadelphia area because of, well, these convenience stores and now gas stations also called Wawa food markets.
Yep.
Which we all grew up with in the Philadelphia area. So, so I went down on Sunday and came back on Tuesday.
Bring any sandwiches back.
You know what? I was going to, and we wanted to take one more trip down to my dad's house in Bluebell to look at things, and we would have passed the Pudges on the way up, and we got doing something and totally forgot and blew right past it. And I had to get on the road. So
I
but
hear you.
I'm going to have to go down again, so I will take orders if you ask.
Nice!
So, you know, for the $16 hoagies or cheesesteaks or, yeah. Yes.
Good hoagie.
Yeah. I'm planning to take a cooler with me next time I go down, too.
And dry ice.
Yeah. So, yep. So that was my, this week. This was a 3-for-9er week for us at work. Because we had Memorial Day and this was an off Friday for us, so I took 3 days. You take 3 days vacation, Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you get 9 days off, basically.
Right.
So I always take those when they come through. But yeah, this ended up with the quick trip down to Pennsylvania, and then the rest of this week I've been, yeah, kind of chilling out because yes, I've got to do that Security Plus stuff yet.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
I hate that crap.
Yeah. So anyway, so Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. where to begin? I'm not going to get into a deep one on this other than for those that have the podcast that shall not be named in their feed, they probably noticed a severe lack of episodes lately.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it's been because I haven't felt like doing too many shows. Things keep coming up that really piss me off. And the time I get blood pressure back down, I don't really feel like recording. So I did try to put out an episode explaining this twice last week. I've got a couple of... I don't have the freedom of... I've created Youper Dude. But it doesn't have the same clandestine, you know,
restraints,
deniability of Scarborough Dude. So I'm kind of really thinking about what I want to put in there. But that's the long and short of it is the longtime listeners of this show and of the podcast that should not be named to know there's been a long issue with some medical issues in our family. And despite the fact that I've been a responsible American and paying for my own health insurance and having everything covered, It's put quite a strain on us, and to the point where we wound up in court with one of the hospitals a week ago Thursday. And I came out of that hospital, and swear to God, all I could think of was Warren Zevon and lawyers, guns, and money. So that will be the theme song of that episode when it comes out. So, but you know, I may get it out this week. This may get posted before I get another episode out. It would take a couple more things to. But just wanted to put a note in here. I'm keeping my sanity, but there are some days I'm just like, ah! Excuse me, I feel much better now.
And there goes the stress.
Yeah. Well, Joel.
Yeah. Let's see. We had a busy day today. I got a busy day tomorrow. Tomorrow's day is going to consist of, I'm kind of lumping everything in here with another little tidbit of bottom here, but it's okay. Today was a day of digging. As for those seven listeners that we have, know that there is a two-car detached garage. And Dr. Kenny has one side, and I have the other side. Well, what we don't have on this nice garage building that just needs a little TLC is power. Mm-hmm. So we started compiling thoughts and ideas and looked at each other both and said, dude, I gotta get freaking electricity in the goddamn garage. So long short of it, today a good friend of Kenny's came up with his mini excavator, and I have pictures. I don't know how the hell, I don't even think we'd even do the G+ anymore. Well,
yeah, we did. Well, pictures. It's there if you want to.
Right.
Post.
We dug 151 feet from the house to where the wires are going to come out from the house to where the panel's going to go on the inside of the garage, and laid in all the UFB cable or wire.
Yeah.
Backfilled it all in, and so it's in place now. So tomorrow, while the mini excavator's here, we're talking to our good friend Scott. I said, hey, I want to put French drains in around the house because I got some water that gets into my basement, and as for the seven listeners, you know, and it happens pretty regularly, and it's mm-hmm. really a pain in the butt.
What exactly are French drains?
Okay, French drains are around the base of the foundation of your house. You know, you get your poured footer. Then on your poured footer, you either have a poured wall or, in some instances, a cinder block wall that's built off that footer. Mm-hmm. If it's a poured wall, it's reinforced, usually with a little bit of bars in it. A French drain, and then they backfill the dirt up to that concrete wall, and they say, okay, your basement's done.
Yeah. Usually tar the outside.
Right. Yeah. Well, a French drain, what that does is now the water, it rains, the snow, everything starts to melt. That water's sitting against that concrete. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, it will weep through or under that
create
concrete.
Create the cracks in your...
And crack corners. It, and then start to get into your basement. Yeah. And it'll come in at such a rate, it'll start to get deep. It can get very deep, mm-hmm. especially with winter snow melting. So to put a French drain is you dig all that dirt back out, about a hole 2 foot wide, all the way down to the footers. Mm-hmm. You then put in a layer of 1¾-inch coarse stone. It's like river rock. You know, the round, smooth stone? Mm-hmm. You lay that in at about 12 inches deep. You then put on top of that some smaller crushed stone, 3/4 inch. Then you put in another, then you put a layer of stone on top of that, which might be 1/4 inch. And then on top of that, you put landscape mat, and then you put your loam. And then you put your grass on top of that.
And if you want, at the bottom, you can also put one of those.
You had a pipe.
The pipe and with the corrugated pipe.
You would put your 4-inch corrugated pipe whole side facing down, which where most people screw up. And
we have that, and we got the holes facing up.
Yes, and but that's sorry. Go ahead.
Corrugated pipe is up near the top of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like the rain and stuff coming off the roof's supposed to go right into the pipe.
Right. Well, the idea. With the holes facing down, with the holes facing up, as the pipe's buried into the earth, the pipe virtually has to fill up almost all the way before it really starts to funnel and channel the water at a high rate of velocity out to wherever you want it to dump to, you know, that low point where that pipe comes out. By flipping with the holes down and having it buried in the stone, the water itself starts to channel up through, and that pipe only has to get about halfway filled before it channels all that water away from the house.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Scott has done that. Because I looked at him, I said, I always thought it holds up, because he says, I get a lot of calls from people, from folks that have French drains put in, and they say, we're still getting water in the basement. Not as much, but we still get water in this basement, but we have French drains, so he'll dig it all out. And it's because the holes are facing up rather than down. He says, you're actually waiting for the pipe to have to get full 100% before it start to really push the water away or channel it away. Mm-hmm. And that's all. It's a lot. And because that pipe has to fill up so much fuller, it's also sitting against the foundation that much longer, giving it the opportunity to get into the basement.
Mm. It makes sense now that you explain it.
Yeah. I said, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, if your French drain starts filling up, the pipe prevents it from going too far, and it gives it an escape route.
Gives it an escape route.
Yeah.
And it's funny, he used a couple of these neat catchphrases. Water runs to light. So wherever there's light, you give it the least amount of resistance, and it will automatically, by default, run in that direction. Mm-hmm. He said, so if that pipe has to really get that filled almost 100%, to get adequate and sufficient flow, well, it's been leaning against the foundation of the house that much longer till that 4-inch pipe gets filled.
Hmm.
And I went, good point. He said, yeah. So that's tomorrow.
Cool.
The French drain's going tomorrow, and because the excavator was already here and the power's already pulled over to the garage, and which is a bottom gear topic, because the reason why I wanted to, we're putting 240 in, I'm putting 240 in at the garage, is because I'm putting a lift in my bay.
Ooh, all right.
All right.
So, it's just one of those things where I've always wanted it, and when one of the garage was a tall enough roof, and I do have a second floor there, and I'm up there, and I'm like, it's a very small room. At one time, I thought maybe that could be Studio FU. And then when I went up there, I'm like, there's no way in hell. A, it's not tall enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could sit on an office chair in there, but I can't stand up in there.
Yeah.
B, you know, even with power, I'd have to air condition the bejesus out of it in the summer.
And heat it in the winter.
Heat it in the winter. And then what are you going to do when you gotta take a leak when you're 6 or 7 podcast beverages into it? You know, what are you, peeing out the second floor window? So, onto the fresh new metal roof, so you can hear it click, 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 click. No. So
well, that's why there's no screen in one of the windows here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it kind of splashes back if you try to do it through the screen.
Yeah, and be careful of which way the wind's blowing. Yeah, the back door.
See, out the back door, this screen smells weird.
Keeps the bugs away.
So
I'm
taking up the floorboards, cutting out the joists the way it's framed up there. It's actually they're an add-on just for a floor surface. They weren't a truss, and cut those out. And then I thought, you know what? I can get a car 5.5 feet in the air.
Cool. That'll do it.
Yep. Yeah. And eventually a tire machine, a wheel balancing machine, and then obviously my welder will be in there. But I love to weld.
Mm-hmm.
But scorching hot outside, you don't want to sit underneath the hot sun welding if I can help it. I'd rather be inside the garage welding where there's a concrete floor and it's a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
So it's all coming together. A little bit by a little bit.
Yeah, it's a project. It's an ongoing project. It's very cool.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm next. This happened about 3 weeks ago now. I was sitting in the living or the family room, and I hear a car going down the road at a fairly decent speed, and it sounded like he went over a bump or something, but I said, that was a weird sound, because it was like, you hear it but you're going over the little bumps, because we have such great back roads here that are smooth, and I hear this whack. And it keeps going down. And I said, you know, that didn't sound like he bottomed out on something at the road or something. That sounded like something got hit. I was going to go out, but I was already in the late night QRM jammies and decided not to make the hike down there. But the next day, Anne-Marie had gone out and we hadn't picked up our mail the day before. And she goes, somebody tried to steal our mail. And I said, why? She goes, it was all over the ground outside the mailbox. And I said, that's not what happened. I said, somebody tried to play baseball with our mailbox.
Mailbox baseball.
So I went down there and I looked. And first of all, you know, this happens to me about once a year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, somebody's always, and I don't know, I'm beginning to get a little paranoid here that it's a personal vendetta. I don't know by who or what, but, you know, I went down there, and of course, this time, I bought the solid plastic one, and that fits over and gets bolted to a 4x4,
yep.
And I got an 8-foot 4x4, and I sunk 4 feet of it into the ground. And I poured cement in there and watered it. So basically, it's cemented in, and it ain't going anywhere.
Right?
So I go down there, and I'm looking at the mailbox, and I'm looking on the outside of the mailbox. Because the mailbox kind of is like made out of Tupperware, like really tough Tupperware.
Right.
So, you know?
Right.
And I look, and I say, sure enough, there's a dent. Not a dent, but an imprint. A rounded imprint where somebody took a baseball bat and tried to take it out. And I got to be happy to say that it held its ground.
And
if that guy was moving any kind of speed and somebody was whacking that with a baseball bat, I should go check the records for the emergency room up at the hospital, because that's got to have hurt, because that thing didn't budge.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you were out there swinging a bat at it and moving in a moving car at the same time, yeah, I'm thinking somebody got hurt.
And you know what? You mess with a mailbox with mail in it, it's a federal offense.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is, and I should have reported it. And I don't know why. I was just so pissed off, because the other thing is my two neighbors, of course, you know, our mailboxes are all on the same side of the street. And
yeah.
So about 6 feet away from my mailbox is my neighbor's mailbox, which is actually being propped up by a piece of wood just to kind of keep it upright.
Yeah.
And then another, you know, about 4 feet up from that is another mailbox, which is got this very thin metal support. It's not even on wood or anything. It's just, you know, one of those mailboxes. Now, they didn't hit either one of those guys.
Well, there's no thrill in those.
There's no challenge.
Fall right over.
But they didn't hit those guys.
No challenge.
They had to make an effort to get in and hit mine because of the spacing just at the right time. So this is what's making me paranoid, because every year my mailbox gets taken out, theirs don't.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's a frustrated late night QRM listener.
What are the 3.2 girls?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's one of the 3.2 girls. But I'm thinking about sometime getting one of those trail cameras and setting it up in one of the trees down by the stone fence. And see, nobody's tried to take it out since then. Again, the guy who probably tried has a broken arm right now. Because that's gotta hurt. That's all I can say. That must have hurt. And I didn't see any broken bats around. So,
right.
You know. So his arm took all the impact on that.
Well, hopefully he's got a concussion. It's learned this lesson, because the bat bounced back off the Tupperware mailbox and beamed him right in the middle of the forehead.
Well, I'm thinking his arm probably got slammed into the post in the back of the window.
Oh, the pillar.
Yeah.
The upright.
Yeah.
The pillar in the car. That could be it. And if by some chance, Mm-hmm. And I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does and you end up losing that mailbox, pretty please with sugar on top, let me weld up one for you.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there's, I'm telling you, you can't turn I down. Even looked at this thing and I was checking it out, and this one did not budge.
Nice. Well, it's usually the screws. You know where it where you put the wooden bottom, you screw the wooden screws, the screws to the wood in the bottom of the mailbox, and then that wood attaches, that wooden, let's call it a shelf, attaches to the wooden post.
Yeah. Well, those screws
that rip out.
Well, those screws aren't just ordinary screws. They were bolts, and they're about 3 inches. Well, I won't say 3 inches. They were probably a good 2 inches, and I mean they were thick. They're like, you know, 1/4 inch, or 3/4 inch bolts.
3/4 inch carriage bolts.
Yeah. They basically on front and back, 4 of them.
Nice.
So, yeah, that didn't budge, and I was happy. Now, if it was middle of winter, I don't know how that plastic would have survived if it was cold outside.
Yeah, but it might have cracked. Yeah, good point.
But summertime, it sure did hold up, and I don't wish bad to anybody, but I hope it hurt like hell.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting sick of spending $100
on the car too.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of spending $100 a year putting up freaking mailboxes.
Not to mention all the work. I mean, you burned up half a Saturday.
Yeah.
Trying to put them in, and it's you know, if all ours, you know, and I hope it doesn't happen here, but all ours has to do is get hit once, and I promise you, sure as God made little teeny tiny green apples, the post is going to be like you. I love your idea. 8 feet long, 4 feet of it in the earth. But it's going to be 3/8 inch tubular steel, and I'm going to weld up a 3/8 thick plate mailbox and weld it to the post and concrete that into the earth, and right on the side on a nice sticker, hit this bitch.
With a wood grain veneer over all of it. So.
You can hit it with your truck; it ain't going to move.
Yeah. So I was happy it didn't go down, but that's my story. So, Michael, you're next. And, of course, you guys are all preparing for...
MMPR. Yes. Woo-hoo! 16.
I've been following your discussions, and your guys are all getting set up and prepared.
Yep. Well, I've been wanting to get the final things taken care of, and... what?
And Joel sucks because I didn't give you an answer.
No, I just figured you're busy. But I got a unexpected paycheck last week, similar to the one that I used in MMPR 15, and that is I got asked to work Memorial Day weekend. I wound up putting a 36-hour shift in, and that was more than enough to cover airline tickets and the hotel costs. Based on current Canadian economic conditions.
Oh, yeah. You guys are getting a deal this year.
So I was working away and took a break from my coding, and I looked at it, and I don't remember if I had pinged Dr. Dave before or after, but I saw he was online. I think he reacted to – he had reacted to something that goes down in our geek section, so I won't bring that up yet. But and I said, hey, you know, what flights are you taking from – Sault Ste. Marie, and would you care if I slept on your couch? He goes, well, I'll have to ask Isabel. He came back about 2 minutes later. Said, yeah, she says fine. I'm like, cool. So I'm going to drive from here to Sault Ste. Marie, which means I don't have to rent a vehicle. I'm pretty sure my vehicles can make the 600-mile round trip from here to Sault Ste. Marie. And spend the night at Dr. Dave's place and Isabel's place. And then we are flying out together on Porter Airlines the next day. And I don't have to drive a vehicle. I can just concentrate on imbibing, which I have not been doing much lately. So I got to catch up on my podcasting supplies. And I was all excited. Now, I completely forgot. Of course, it was in the middle of the workday. I should have realized it, but I was in the middle of the workday, and I said, oh, gosh, residence in for X dollars. This is great. Well, in the U.S., residence in means something different to us than it does in Canada. There are the residence in we think of, there's only three of in Canada.
Oh.
There's one in Toronto, there's one on the East Coast somewhere, and one in Vancouver.
Well, they're Marriott's down here.
Right. Right. Marriott, well, they're residents in by Marriott, yeah. So I booked in the exact same place we stayed last year, which actually, since I won't be sleeping on the floor this year, maybe a little better. But
I felt so bad about that.
No, it was worth it to be down there with you guys. But we were talking about this pre-show, and I'm not going to cancel this reservation until if we're going to make other reservations, I'm going to make sure those are in place first before I cancel this, because right now everything's set, and Jason with an E is going to be there anyhow. So if you're making other plans there, Joel, then I'll just meet you guys down. It's only a mile and a half from city center, so it's right. Not like, you know, it's not that big of a walk for me, even if I walk it. Although I have a feeling with my beverage choices, I'll be taking a cab or riding with somebody. But so anyhow, yeah, I'm all excited.
I don't mean to
rub it in for Barry.
No, that's all right. That's fine.
I'm actually looking at the SheratonHamilton.com right now at their website. Because I know Barney and I were talking, you know, getting a place, bunking in and this. And have either one of you gentlemen or any of you gentlemen stayed at the Sheraton?
Not Hamilton? No.
Well, Barney, you stayed at the Marriott there, didn't you?
Yeah, the Courtyard by Marriott. Yeah.
Was that any good?
That was very good. And the air conditioning was outstanding.
Woohoo!
Well, yeah, I was looking tonight. The one of the Marriott's right downtown there was $75 a night, which isn't bad.
Is that Canadian?
Yeah.
So it's
I don't know if that was Canadian or U.S.
Even if it's U.S., who cares?
Yeah, that's pretty cheap. Good.
And, I just saw this one. Well, it had an indoor pool.
Hmm. You'll never use it, but... it's don't give you enough time to do anything.
Yeah, a lot of running around.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I was kind of hoping to be closer to the city center this time.
This thing's right at city center.
This is the courtyard was up past where you guys were in another few blocks.
Right. This thing here is right. I'm looking at the Google map. It's 116 King Street in Hamilton, and it is right at downtown. City center.
Yeah.
Downtown.
That's where everything happened.
That's what I'm thinking would be a good place to stay. It's $100 a night. To it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
There you go.
Stagger.
Stagger back.
You know what also upsets me is the fact that I'm going to be missing the Ham Fest. Bob said that the Ham Fest is that Saturday also. Michael, you and he did that during the first MMPR.
Yep, that was a blast.
Yeah.
Except they didn't want to take my American money. So.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things, too. I got to make that point to remember to tell them, hey, look, my cards are going to be used outside of the U.S. Make sure they work, bank people.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I think this year, although last year when we went, I went straight to an ATM and sucked out cash in Hamilton. But this year, I think I may get cash as long as there's not a big fee at the credit union, Canadian dollars. And then that way I got it in my pocket already.
When I had a bunch of Canadian money left and I went to my credit union and I said, how much is the fee? They said, there's no fee.
Oh,
So I was really okay.
if they've got Canadian dollars, I'd rather just have a couple. Well, they're not Benjamins. I don't know what they are. A couple of Sawbucks in my pocket while we're traveling and feel better.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like it sounds like you and Barty are going to carpool.
Yeah, I'm driving to Barty's. Thank you again, Barty and Tony. Going to drive up.
No problem.
Trying to figure out, we haven't talked to scheduling if I'm going to drive up the day before our departure day to go up there, crash at Barty's for a night. I don't know. And then, or are we going to do it all the same day? We're still figuring that out. Actually, we haven't really talked about it yet. But yeah, I'm driving to Barty's and we'll jump in his Jeep and go.
Sounds cool. Sounds good. And that's a good break point, too, for driving.
Yeah, well, we got to. What was it, about four and a half hours to that break, to that rest stop? What's the driving we did last year? Was it about 4.5 hours or 5 hours?
Yeah, it was between 4 and 5 hours, I think, yeah.
Yeah, No, I, we were talking to you, Barty. It was like, we're pretty darn close.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds cool. And I just, the next topic, I got to say, because of my trip down and back, and because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts recently, and I marathoned the best episodes ever, because I was way behind on those. But and the reason I'm behind is because those things, as they say, are timeless. You know, you can listen to them any time, and they're just as enjoyable. So I tend to let them build up as opposed to the more timely podcasts. And so I listened to them, and I mean, it was like one after the other. Boom, 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 boom. And I actually did that before I took the trip down. But then came the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hours, which I had let build up too. And actually, that one's kind of a different story, because I started last year, I started including them. So I was up to date with, you know, the current Marshall McLuhan Variety Hours. I had started keeping up to date with them, but I still had a whole stockpile of them, old ones that I hadn't listened to that were still sitting there. Well, I listened to those. I marathoned those. And pretty much I marathoned those all the way down to Pennsylvania. And as I put in a tweet, I said it was almost like having Anthony and Dave and Bob sitting in the back seat, except there was no screaming and you know, covering of eyes or anything like usual passengers in my car.
Is that a blind joke?
Why?
I find that
well, you know, actually, Dave was the only one that didn't cover his eyes. That's a blind joke.
You know what? I won't be surprised when I see him say, "Hey, when you get back to see Barry, do me a favor, kick him in the nuts." Okay.
Yeah. So, but it was fun, and so I'm all caught up. I'm done. I'm up to date, and both of them are in my current shuffle anyway now. So I shouldn't get behind on those.
So, have you gone all the way back to the first season of
Best Episode? No, I didn't go all the way back. Okay. It's ever since I started listening to them a couple of years ago, and you know me, things get backed up. They were in my C list. And, I just thought of something else I wanted to add. Okay, that goes down in Geek Corner. I'll do it here, because it has to do with podcasting. I got to say that since I switched over to Overcast, I have found another thing that is very nice about that, too. Because not only do I have my usual playlists, my A list, my B list, my C list, which I can listen to, but Overcast also allows you to prioritize certain podcasts. You can go in and say, okay, this is a priority podcast, boom, boom, boom. And whenever a new one comes in, it puts it at the top of the list instead of, you know, in the standard order. So right. I have prioritized all my A's and my B's so they come in. And it's so easy. You can go into all podcasts. There's a playlist called All Podcasts, you can go in there and you can hit edit, and then you can slide them around so you can prioritize the order. They all show up at the top, and then you can just move them around to what, you know, order you want to listen to. And you know, when I'm in the reading room, I generally organize my podcast while I'm sitting there. So now when I get in the car, you know, I just hit the top one of that one, and it goes. I don't ever have to switch playlists or anything, because everything is there, and it just plays and plays, and I don't have to worry about touching the phone while I'm driving at all. For podcasting,
that's very cool.
So yeah, I'm really happy with it, and yeah. So, and I pay. You know, it's free. But you can pay a monthly or yearly fee, And then you get a couple little extra things with it, like you can get a color, a different theme, color theme, which I actually like that. But I said, this is a damn good program, and I paid a year, you know, this year's, and I will, you know, as long as he keeps it up, I'm going to pay every year because he did a damn good job with this program, and it works flawlessly. It's got big buttons, you know, it just works the way it should work.
So. Yeah, I pay it as well. I'm really happy with this program.
Yeah, very good. I mean, it works. It works perfectly. It's the best one out there. It really is.
Very cool.
So, anyway, so now we'll go to Michael.
Oh yeah. Okay, I lost my place in the notes. So today was the annual Calumet High School band rummage sale. Just because we've already gone on the trip, it means we start raising money for the next 4 years. So that's an annual thing we do. Well, started about 3 years ago. We started doing it annually 4 years ago. But this year, instead of doing it, having the rummage sale on US 41 at one of our band family members' houses and taking over their place for a weekend, we used the school cafeteria. And good choice, because it dumped rain all day today. And it was nice to bring everything inside last night, set it up ahead of time last night on all the tables in the cafeteria, and we must have gotten twice as much as we normally do. Wow. So it's starting to pick up. But we also apparently got, I tried not to pay too much attention, but all of a sudden you hear a shriek from some of the women on the other end who are sorting out the clothes. Apparently some of the apparel was a little bit on the risque side at times. the only one I noticed at the beginning is somebody held up this swimsuit top made out of a coconut that had been cut in half with strips.
Oh, a Jimmy Buffett fan.
Yeah. Couple of digital cameras, all of them with the cards missing. But then there was a Kodak disc camera that I saw.
Nice. Wow.
I haven't seen one of these. And then I noticed there was a disc in it and it was half shot. I'm like, I don't know if I want to know. Somebody bought it. Film and all.
Jeez.
So, yeah, that's what I did earlier today. And I was actually filling in my Slack notes for Late Night QRM from the rummage sale.
Yes. Yeah, it works great with the phone.
Yes, it does.
It works awesome. Yeah. It really, but really does.
I will ask you, Michael, please try to get it in the proper channels.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as he's getting the notes in.
Yeah.
Yes, but I need to know where to put them instead of guessing.
Oh, will you draw your picture?
Yeah, watch out how you word that question.
We have... All right. Well, oh, and Barty, you're not fooling us. We know you're watching hockey.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Score is 1-1.
There you go.
Early part of the second period.
Okay, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Who are the teams playing?
The Pittsburgh Penguins and the San Jose Sharks.
And what game is this?
This is the third game of the Stanley Cup Finals. Pittsburgh leads 2-0.
Oh, okay.
So this is pretty much a must-win for the Sharks if they want to stay in the series. Because if you fall to a 3-0 deficit, you're pretty well screwed.
That's a tough one.
Especially against a team like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I just want to say I got my fill of rugby in this afternoon. The Sevens were on NBC when I was eating dinner, so I watched that. That was pretty cool. College rugby.
Yeah.
And I found out that rugby is now part of the winter or summer Olympics. They brought it back. So I'll be watching one event in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I will be watching the rugby. That's for sure. I love rugby. Still, I need to go to YouTube though, because I'm still a little shy on some of the rules. So, and I know they depending on what division, not division, but league you're in, sometimes the rules change slightly, but I'd like to get somebody, I know you two will have something that will explain the game. I just have a few questions that I need answered. I've got most of it figured out. But anyway, I love watching that. That is a cool game. So I guess I'm next. Oh, well, I think last episode I mentioned that I had made a comment on Twitter about Fail Point, because they're showing their brand new truck and everything, and with their fiber thing on the outside, and you know how many gigabits you could get download speeds and everything, and I made the comment, yeah, that truck will never visit our neighborhood or my neighborhood. I got a tweet response back and said, why don't you contact us and we'll see what we can do for you. And so I called them. And there's two parts to the story. But the first part here in Days of Our Lives is the fact that after talking to the very nice lady on the other end and having chatting with her as she was checking things out, I found out that Failpoint is also now an energy provider.
Get out of town.
Yeah, and they were a whole penny cheaper than Eversource was.
Well, yeah, but considering how they provide internet, do you really want to trust their power to a company like that?
Well, they don't deliver it. So, needless to say, Failpoint is now my energy provider, my electricity provider.
Oh, my God.
For at least a year.
Oh, my God.
So, well, you know, the price was right, and I heard rumors that Eversource is going to ask for an increase here coming up in the next couple of months. So I said, you know, when I heard that, I said, maybe time to go shopping again. And when I called Failpoint, they had a good deal up there with all the other ones. So why not? What the hell? So
yeah.
So now they provide my internet and my energy.
Keep that generator handy.
I'm having problems with the internet. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Can't see it in the dark, sir.
All right, let's go on to Joel next.
Oh, jeez, Louisiana was too good. Yeah, so basically, nothing major, super duper awesome. I just went ahead and, there's that list of stuff around the house that you want to get done.
Uh-huh.
But it's really more than a one-person job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a little help. Well, over the holiday weekend, both, I hate calling them my kids because they're young adults now, but the kids are home. And so I'm like, ooh, I got a labor force. I ought to maximize this.
Kids come home and you put them to work.
It's exactly right. I'm like, hey, guys, we got to finish putting up the wallboard in the entranceway of the house. And it's 10-foot long sheet, 4 feet wide. I'm like, you know what? You guys are young and feeling pretty strong. Debbie and I are going out for breakfast. Hang that drywall.
I love it.
And they did. They got some of it up and did a nice job, too, as for never having done it. And once we got back from our meal, I've had this. Really, I hope I hadn't mentioned this in the previous podcast. If I have, I'm repeating myself, so sorry. But I had gotten a hold of a cherry entranceway door that has glass in it, probably 2 feet wide, and almost the entire length of the door. Double pane insulated glass entry door.
Yeah.
It's done in cherry, framed in cherry. And the cabin, and as I've talked in past episodes of the seven folks who've listened, I was always vacillating between, do I want to put skylights in the cabin or not? And I, as much as I love the idea to get more natural light into the house, mm-hmm. I hate the idea of putting skylights in because this is heavy-duty snow country normally up mm-hmm. here. Every other house has metal roofs on them for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I can relate.
Yeah, and the idea behind it being is I'm putting the metal roof on this year, this summer. I'm doing it myself. And I thought about it, and I said, I'll be goddamned. If I want to go buy the sheet, the steel, put it on the trailer, haul it back to the house, put the strap on the roof, start building and installing all this, and then cut a freaking hole through it to put a skylight. That's kind of stupid.
The skylight blocks the snow.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what? I got to get more light in here, and that's when I decided to switch gears and get a door with all glass in it. So last weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, my son, who I thank greatly, helped me install it. It didn't need to be customized a bit because I used the pre-existing frame and modified the door so it fit perfectly.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it's in, it's installed, and that's one of two. And I'm thinking 2 weeks maybe so, 3 weeks. I'm going to blow the window out of the living room, and I'm putting in a door there where the deck's going off the side of the living room.
There you go. Nice.
No, I figured I got to put the French drains in first before I put the door and the deck on top. Otherwise, I have to take the deck off, put the French drains in, because that's got to go right past there.
There is
an order to it. Trust me, I've probably done it in the wrong order at least once in my life. So I hope you'll learn from those mistakes.
Yeah. Wow. Very just cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
So the cabin in the woods is really coming along.
We're getting there. You know,
I just thought of the perfect music. I got to get theme music for you when you talk about these. And we're going to the cabin in the woods, or otherwise known as Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, before they moved to the prairie, they did live in a cabin out in the big woods.
Yes, they did.
Well, for those, I don't do the FaceTube so much, but my beautiful bride, I'm sure, has posted when we bought the property. There was trailers that were right next to the garage that now has power going to it. Tractor trailers, like 42 foot long trailers, two of them, and they were there for 15 years. One was leaning on the other one, and you know, you're like, wow, what an eyesore that friggin' is. How the hell are we going to move it? Well, they got moved out this week. Nice. So I'm sure you folks who were, what are you, friend, like, tweet, smile, well, I don't know what the hell you do with Facebook, but if you can see my wife's Facebook page, I'm sure she posted photos.
It was a nice video,
of those things being yanked out. So they're down back by the barn, by the Quonset hut. Can't be seen. We're gonna make great storage.
Yeah,
but we're gonna cut the axles off of them, cut the landing gear on them, drop the actual containers. Mm-hmm. There's concrete slabs back there, and basically paint them up. I might put a pitch roof on it, and you've got a 42 foot long garage. For storing garden tractors, lawnmowers. No, I got to go buy some snowmobiles. Studios? I could, but then I'd have the long walk to Saskatchewan.
That's true.
Actually, I didn't even think of that. I've got four trailers back there.
Uh-huh.
I could turn one of those into a studio.
Be very quiet, too.
And I've got power down there.
Yeah.
Just steal it off the barn.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, but then I got to try and walk back up to Saskatchewan in the dark, drunk.
You'll find him next morning somewhere.
With bears and coyotes.
Yeah, exactly. Stuck in the half in and half out of the pond going, I thought I made it. But
well, that's when you get your all-terrain vehicle.
You're right. I would just drive the four-wheeler down. Just drive the four-wheeler down there and drive the four-wheeler back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good to drive when you're drunk in the dark. Well,
yeah, but it's easier than, I mean, we drive the Jeeps down there now. We were shit-faced doing the pond.
And down there, what the hell? You just, if you got to take a pee, just go out and
Pick a tree.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
Get one of those chemical toilets.
Yeah, but you know, or just why don't just go all out, just get a Porter John down here. But you know, you guys are doing a show and you'll hear farewell and adieu to your first finest lady. Well, I'm drunk and you're having a dump. You know, it just, it wouldn't, I guess it'd make for good radio, but.
Another episode.
I'm sure it's not the first time we've talked to you.
On the can? No, guaranteed not. You don't know when the earbuds are in the iPhone or not. Have you fooled? That's called multitasking, people.
Yeah, so. It's just when you hear that slight echo. Reverb. Yeah,
all of a sudden it mutes, and then 38 seconds it unmutes. It's because you flushed, washed your hands, and then you left the bathroom.
Oh, man. All righty. Well, Michael.
So, yeah, for those that follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Box. Outer Limits, whatever. Chris and I generally go for an evening walk. That's a year-round habit for us. It's not every evening. It's kind of, you know, as circumstances allow. And let's see here. Wednesday is Saturday, Thursday. Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Was it Wednesday night? Yeah, Wednesday night after I got back from the fire meeting. Chris and I went up for a walk, and we're just, you know, starting to head out on our property there, heading towards the state park. And here, you know, what sounds like somebody pounding on a tent stake, but, well, it's, you know, it's getting near closer to actual real season here. And after Memorial Day, there's plenty of campers out there. But now I'm hearing this pound, like somebody hitting a tent stake, and then a ricochet, then a pound and a ricochet. Another pound and a ricochet, and all of a sudden I realize there are pellets ricocheting around us on the walking path.
What?
And we get up to the corner of the property, and the kid has the common decency to stop shooting, as he had set up numerous targets along the edge of the campsite and was firing across the walking trail and into our property. And then when he sees us, he just kind of casually aims the it's a CO2 powered type pistol.
Yeah.
Just aims off in the distance, which happens to be towards the house and the trucks. I start to walk towards the campsite, and Chris goes, "No, don't do this tonight." I'm like, "Okay. All right, fine." And then the girl next to this dipshit goes, "Oh, they're not going to say anything on it. They're clearly walking on posted property." I'm like, "Yeah, it's my posted property."
Yeah.
So anyhow, we go off for our walk, and I'm kind of keeping an eye out for park personnel. But this time of year, the park personnel pretty much stop patrolling at 9 o'clock. They don't go until their late night patrols till another week or two. So I didn't see anybody, and I thought, well, crap, you know, we get back and it's now after 10 o'clock at night, and I still hear this ka-tunk ping, ka-tunk ping. It's like, you know, it's starting to get dark out, and the guy's still firing off rounds. What part does he think this is okay? And, I mean, it's not okay, period, in a state park. But I don't care if there's people around or not.
Apparently, he doesn't live right up the street from me, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I get to the house, and I thought, well, it's, you know, it's after 10 now. I'm not going to wake up the park manager. I'll send a message on their answering machine at the office. And the next morning, I need to drive Mark to school. So I go off, you know, drive him to town, take care of a couple of things, come back. Now it's after 10. And I'm like, well, let's stop in on my way back to the office. So I stop into the headquarters, and there's a new girl up front. I said, no, just checking to make sure you got my message from last night. And she goes, what message? I'm like, left a rather important message on your machine last night. And she goes, well, I'm new here. I'll check. She turns on the answering machine, and it starts playing messages from a week ago Friday.
Wow.
And she goes, is that it? And I'm like, no. And I said, hit forward, 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 forward. Now you're in this week. Keep going. She finally gets to it. It gets to the point where I leave this message, and he goes, hi, you know, this message is for so-and-so. I'm pretty sure it's against policy for you, you know, any of your campers to be firing off pellet guns on the campsite, much less pellet guns across walking trails. And I guarantee you, I object to pellet guns being fired into my property. At which point she hears this and goes white. And I said, I want to talk to so-and-so, who's the park manager, now. And she goes, I'm sorry, he's in a meeting.
Now.
And I looked at this poor girl. It was her first day at work. I actually went back and apologized yesterday, told her anything. But I said, what part of their firing into my property from campsite number 10 did you not hear? You will go get him now. At which point she jumped. He didn't come out, so he's got some splaining to do to me. I'm really pissed at this guy. I know him pretty well. He did send somebody else out who did take care of it right away. But I looked, and she's fantastic. I call her the enforcer anyhow. Her name I'll use, Jen. Jen's awesome. But, you know, they see a female ranger walking up, and people kind of let their guard down. Ah, she's like, oh, no, you don't mess with Jen. And she does it nicely, and she still will screw you over if you don't, you know, don't toe the line. But, you know, I told her, I said, you know, if I even see this gun, much less it pointed in my direction, it's going to be the state police, and I'll be filing a complaint with the state, which is exactly what the park manager who was here to retire is trying to avoid.
Yeah.
But, so yeah,
nice.
Campers are still there. I didn't want them to go away. I just wanted them to stop being stupid.
Yeah.
And, when she went over there, the first person she talked to, one of the adults, denied that he even knew anything was going on. And like, this went on for an hour and a half. So either you were in town drinking or you're lying through your frickin' mouth.
Yeah.
And the kid finally, the kid did admit that he was firing, but he never admitted that he was firing in the direction of my property. I said, well, you know, first of all, it's not okay to be firing at all. Second of all, I saw you, period. And third of all, your targets were set up in front of my property, so you couldn't have not been firing into my property. Anyhow, so yeah, it's just yet another thing to get my blood pressure up. And maybe that's the third part of lawyers, guns, and money. That,
yeah. Yeah.
Except they're definitely not like guns. So, that's the ping ping.
Okay. Well, I got the final topic in Days of Our Lives, and this will be short. I just got to tell you that the comfy chair has been fetched. It arrived Tuesday, and yes, there's going to be a lot of missed television shows.
And the other chair is being Febrezed, and a new tag is being put on it as we speak.
Yeah, I don't know where that went. That was so weird that they gave us a loaner chair. But they did, and that one was actually a little small. I was getting concerned because it was supposed to be the same one, and it seemed like it was a little smaller than the one I sat in, furniture. Store, and but this one came in, and I said, "Nah, this is just the right size." So, and surprisingly, well, we haven't had too many hot nights, but the leather's not a concern. Now, my wife tells me, "Well, first of all, there's vinyl, which you know, yeah, you're gonna sweat on, and then there's bonded leather, which is real leather, but they bond it to a vinyl undercoating, which doesn't allow it to breathe, but I guess it gives it a little more stiffness, so it's easier to work with in chairs and stuff.
Right.
And then there's just leather, which this one is. And this one, the leather is very soft, very flexible, pliable. It's almost like a cloth on it. It's interesting. So I haven't had a real hot night, but so far, like I said, I haven't had any problems.
Nice.
Falling asleep on it, and you know, I've had bare legs on the kick out part of it, and they're not sticking to it or anything. So, so we'll see how it works out. I am looking forward to not in the wintertime not getting up out of my chair and worrying about grounding myself on something.
Yeah,
so That will help, and like I said, it's a flex steel, so you know it's got a maximum poundage of like 450 pounds, I think. So, yes, I'm happy with it now. We will see as time goes on. We'll have other updates as we continue. But okay, so that's that, and let's get into. It's not breaking news. Because it's old, it's broken news. And now, live from the QRM newsroom in beautiful, just west of downtown Jaffrey, here's broken news. All right, this is where we look at news items from the time we've been off, and we talk about them if you care to. If not, we'll just blow through it and go to the next one. So the first one I thought was interesting was the violent protests that were happening at the Trump rallies. In particular, the San Jose mayor blamed it on Trump.
Of course he did.
It's his fault that
violent
protesters came out and were attacking people trying to go to the Trump rally.
Yeah, protesters who none of them had American flags, attacking people who everybody had an American flag.
Yeah. And, well, they were just expressing their humanity.
I'll give them some humanity.
Barty, you and I are the same sheet of music.
So I just thought that's interesting. No matter what happens, it's just that the press is...
Protesting is accepted in this country, and there's a good for a very good reason. But protesting and stating your opinion is one thing, but attacking people and throwing things at them—that's going beyond protesting.
Yes.
That's no longer a protest. That's assault.
That's assault. Yeah. That's a riot.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had seen on the stories here where they were the because they had mounted police officers, and the non-American flag-waving individuals are picking up the horse fecal matter and throwing it at the Trump supporters who were trying to go to the rally. That's class. That's that's class right there.
What was one of the battle cries? Make California Mexican again? It's like, okay, but then everybody will move and it'll be Mexico.
And a wasteland.
Yeah. So, you know. And besides that, we did purchase it from them. Whether you think it was a good deal or not, we did purchase California and New Mexico from them back in, I don't know, in 18-something. Yeah. So... It was a fair deal. Anyway, that was that topic. Okay, weather-wise, floods in Texas. Oh, my God. Especially the Austin area. Terrible floods going on. And I've spent some time out in Texas, and they do have these roads. Like, well, I was out in, well, San Antonio for a while, and then San Angelo, which is the heart of Texas, literally. Dead center in the middle. And they have roads where you go, they have like these little, they look like ramps, kind of like hollowed out ramps in the roadway. And it's where a creek would go if there's flash flooding. They don't build bridges there. They just let the water, because the flash floods usually don't last for a long period of time. They come, they go through there, and then things dry up and everything's normal. Well, These floods they've been having, you know, they're like 20, 30 feet over the flood limit or whatever, you know, tall. And, man, it's pretty horrible. Some military guys, they tried to take one of these, it was like a 4-ton truck or whatever, through the water. And the current took the truck, flipped it over. I think they had said there were nine people.
Excuse me.
Six or seven of them were found drowned from it. I mean, it's like, that's another thing.
The rest are still missing, right?
I think they've pretty much recovered everybody. I don't know how... Well, there was a couple people that were rescued there when it flipped over or made it. The rest of them are all dead. But, yeah, I always have this thing. If there is standing water in a road... And you don't know how deep it is. I don't take a vehicle across it. I'm not, you know, because you know how easy it is to flood out your engine. You know, if it happens to go too deep. And I lived in an area when I lived in Virginia. I was up on a hill, but the main road out went along the Shenandoah River, and it was a 500 year flood plain, and it By the way, it flooded four times while I've lived there. but there's one section of the road, you know, we just didn't even try to go out the way we normally went. Well, when everything receded and everything, we went out the road, and it was amazing that, like, 10 feet up in the trees, there was stuff stuck in the trees at 10 feet, at a height of 10 feet. And that's where the water was. Yeah, in that section of the road. So, you know, you just don't know. You know, with hills and stuff like that, you know, unless you really know the road and say, oh, I know that road, and yeah, there's a 10-foot drop there, and I'm looking at water going straight across. Yeah, you just don't drive it. And water is a very powerful element, and you don't want to mess with it, especially if there's any kind of current in it. So, yeah, so that was Texas and flooding, and it's still going on. Last night, Muhammad Ali died. He was 74. I have to correct that. I thought I heard 72, but in the news, he was 74. Of course, he was the greatest. And everybody knows who Muhammad Ali was. Let's face it. even if you're born 20 years ago, you know who Muhammad Ali was. But they're saying he succumbed to Parkinson's, basically. It's natural causes, but he was had Parkinson's for like 30 some years. So.
Right.
And I thought this was, I feel bad, especially about the Marine who was the pilot of the Blue Angels aircraft, because he didn't make it. But it was odd that the there was a Thunderbird and there was a Blue Angel in two different places, and they both crashed on the same day.
That's uncanny.
That is so weird. Now, the Thunderbird guy, he was performing over the graduation ceremonies out at the Air Force Academy. Something went wrong with the plane. He was able to, there's a lot more open space, of course, out in Colorado. He was able to kind of point it in the direction, and then he ejected. Now, the Blue Angel, I think, was in Tennessee.
I think it was too. Yeah,
and there was more neighborhoods and stuff. They were practicing for a show coming up, and so the pilot stuck with it. By the way, I think that's making the you guys are talking back and forth on Skype. I think that is it into the the recording. So he kept with the plane just to steer it out of the way so nobody else got hurt. So, yeah. So that was a tough one, and the weird thing about them both going down on the same day. So no Thunderbirds or Blue Angel flights for a while until the investigations are all done and everything. So, and then this one kind of bothers me a bit. The EU has this big thing against hate speech. And, of course, we as citizens of the United States and the First Amendment, we believe in free speech and everything. Other countries may not have the same opinion about that. Well, the EU has rules and laws against hate speech. And apparently, Facetube, Google, and Twitter have decided that they will abide by those rules and start blocking hate speech. My big problem, being a citizen of the United States and a big lover of the First Amendment, is who decides what the hate speech is?
Good question, sir.
And
yeah, I agree.
You know, actions are what you need to worry about, not what somebody says. You know, so I have a big problem with this, and you know, if I start seeing stuff of mine disappearing, although I never say anything on these things to Yeah. But if I start seeing things disappear, I'm afraid I'm going to say bye-bye.
Well, it necessarily won't happen here, right?
Right, it'll happen in the EU. In Europe, not here. We don't have the law.
I don't know. Because what if somebody says it here and you got friends over in Europe? You know? Sorry.
Then I think the rule would apply.
Yeah.
But if you don't have anybody... Right, exactly. They won't be able to see what you would say. So if you say, oh, I can't stand Donald Trump, Republicans, I hate the guy, blah, 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 just as an example.
Yeah, well, that'd be okay. That's not hate speech.
Well, that would be okay. Then, you know, and if they're in the EU, which is, that would, you know, could be construed as hate speech, that would be blocked, I would think, from being visible to them.
Yeah, if you say Hillary's a liar and a crook, or
Hillary for prison 2016.
Yeah, if you say that, now that's hate speech.
Yeah, I actually was going to get the shirt from the Howie Carr show.
My wife listens to Howie Carr every afternoon.
So do I.
Yeah.
Every day at 3 o'clock, I listen to him until I get home. Almost 3 to 6.
She actually brings it up on the computer. She watches him in the studio.
Yeah, I listen to it on my computer at my desk when I'm at my desk or on the iPhone.
Yeah, he's funny. He's cool. I'm just saying, you know, it's a slippery slope. Like I said, who gets to decide what hate speech is? It's getting very Orwellian here with this kind of stuff.
Well, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I know. We're already there. Yeah, he was just off by, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I think you guys are probably going to address it in the next segment. Actually, no, none of you guys are addressing it.
Uh-oh. Did we miss something? Mm-hmm. Well, put it down.
No, the next segment, Geek Corner.
Yeah, that's what I said. If we
actually, never mind, you talked about it last week. The software update, have you guys heard anything good or bad about it?
Which software update?
The iPhone, iOS.
Oh, that was couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, 9.3.2, but remember how, I'm jumping the gun here, sorry.
Oh, wait a minute, we're going right into it, so let's go.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
All right, we'll start off with Joel's.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I just kind of... The reason what prompted me to ask the question is I just looked down at my iPhone and it said, software update iOS 9.2 is available. Now, I've been putting this off. I have not done the update. Because every time I did the update, I think the last time I did a major update, I was in Copper Harbor and my iPhone 4S turned into a shoehorn. So... that could drain its battery in under 10 minutes.
Yeah, it turned into a battery tester.
Yeah, it did. So I've ever since then, I'm like, nope. When they first come out, nope, not interested, nope. So I figured you guys are the guys I go to find out about.
Yeah, I updated and I had no problems on my 6 Plus.
Okay.
So
anybody know of anything happening to a 5S yet?
I've got a 5S and I've had no problems.
Okay.
I did have problems with 9.3.1, but I have not had problems with 9.3.2.
I think I upgraded my 5 without any problems.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to touch the install now button. Okay.
Touch it, baby. Touch it.
Matter of fact, you said that, and when I brought up my old iPad here that I use for the sound effects and whatnot, drop-ins, it actually popped up a message because I hadn't touched this one, and it said... that it's ready, and I said later, not right before the show.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. So let's go on to the next topic in Geek Corner then. Michael.
Yeah, so continuing to clean things out of the garage here, and one of the things I've been finding as we moved down here 8 years ago, or up here, excuse me, is we have boxes and boxes and boxes of VHS tapes upstairs that are going to disintegrate into dust if I don't do something. Mm-hmm. Or the hysteresis magnetism on the tape is just going to go away. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been kind of searching around to find out what kind of analog in to USB out digital converters are around. Mm-hmm. And see a lot of discouraging reviews on Amazon. You kind of wonder whether the product is that bad or whether people just can't read directions or both. Now, for the people who are trying to use standard analog input converters to USB to digitize their records, turntables don't put out line level signals. But
no.
that's
you have to buy another that's box. Expecting.
You need a preamp.
Well, not a preamp, but it also it comes out it messes with the audio a little bit too. I forget what the frequencies are slightly off. And the box you get converts it back down because it's built into most of the old amplifiers that you used to be able to...
equalization,
To attach turntables to, but the new ones don't have it anymore. So I remember when we pulled out ours, I had to go up on Amazon and get a box to plug it in. It was a preamp, and it did the conversion, the part that's missing out of the new amplifiers.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did some digging, and I was specifically looking for software package and device that would work with a Mac. And on page 2 or 3, it wasn't on the head page, but on 2 or 3, there was a device that wasn't rated. Like, oh, great. But it was specifically for Mac. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it was introduced in late 2015, and I thought, well, either it's old stock that they're trying to sell now, or this thing's actually fairly current. So I took a gamble. Spent the $33 plus shifting. It's only 3-2 beer, and I had one. $33 plus shipping. Toy boat. That's what I get for not putting out podcasts that should not be named episodes. I can't talk anymore.
That's another. That'll be another brew, right? Toy boat.
There we go. I like that. So anyhow, I just figured, oh, we'll give it a shot for $37, including shipping. And I'll give you a more extended review on the next episode. But sure enough, well, first of all, I found out that the SuperDrive on my 15-inch Mac is dead. It's been so long. I don't know. It could have died a year ago. I mean, I'm pretty much loading everything either over the net or by USB drive these days. Wow. So I had to go recover the 2009 MacBook that I rebuilt for my wife, and it's still running just fine. And use that to download the image of the CD and create an image file off of that I could transfer to this to install the software. But sure enough, I grabbed an old VCR out of Panasonic VCR out of the attic, hooked up an RCA patch cable, hit record on the software, and voila, it's digitizing videos. So I guess now I really do have to build a central video server so that we can digitize all these tapes and before they disappear. Yes.
Yeah, before they... Yeah, get old and brittle, or your machine that can play them back breaks.
Yes, we've got a couple around yet, but yeah, the heads get dirty, the quality goes down, and the magnetic signature on the tape just starts to go away.
Yes,
right.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm next, and this is part two of the fail point conversation. So, you know, as I said, I called them up after they suggested me calling, and she said, well, I said, well, I've heard about this thing called bonded DSL. And she says, yes, it's not available, though. Now, bonded DSL is where you actually have two DSL lines, but they're connected. They come out to your house as, I'm not sure how it works, as two, but the bonding takes place in either the central office or, as I found out, the big NEMA box that they have on a pole where they have blades and things in there. And what that does is basically combine the two, and it basically pretty much doubles your bandwidth.
Uh-huh.
So that's not available yet, although the guy that came out to my house this week says, it should be here soon. I said, okay, well, I'm interested in that. So if you can't do that, then the next best thing to do is to get two DSL lines into your house, and then you can load level them with a load level box. And basically what that box does is you plug in both DSLs into you. I have two WAN ports and you plug them both into there, and then you plug everything that's in your house that needs to access the internet into the other side of the, well, the way I do it is I've got two gigabit routers, and those feed the load balancer, which goes out to two DSL modems now. And what that does is the load balancer looks at it and it decides, I'm going to send that out this DSL line. Okay, I'm going to send this one out this DSL line. If it's multiple requests, it can send them out on both DSL lines. Now, you don't get a bump in speed, but what it does is allows you to have, I don't want to say twice the bandwidth, because it's really not, it doesn't affect the speed. It just allows more to go out at the same time.
Right.
So, I got a new DSL line put in. It's only an extra $10 a month to add the second DSL line. I got myself a load balancer box, and the guy came on Thursday, installed the new DSL line. I set up the load balancer box. I have 2 gigabit routers that are sitting there in there, and everything's plugged into them. I have 2 Wi-Fi routers that handle the Wi-Fi, one on one end of the house and one on by the family room, and I've set them up now so that there's one SSID, so you automatically switch depending on where you are in the house seamlessly.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so everything else is going through these gigabit routers. Now, routers are better than, of course, what do you call them?
Modem.
No, the...
switch.
Well, they're router, they're switches, because basically they prevent a lot of interrupts. In other words, you know, they have tables of MAC numbers, and if this MAC thing internally in my local net, like if my Plex box is trying to talk to the Roku box, it has a line, you know, it's like a virtual, kind of like a virtual network, or that it goes there and nothing interferes with it, and it's a very networky thing. But anyway, needless to say, the house now has 2 DSL lines, 2 gigabit routers, 2 Wi-Fi routers, and the load balancer. And so far, for example, right now, I am doing a backup, a complete backup of the computer I'm on while I'm, of course, that's local, but I'm talking to you guys on Skype, and I know Anne-Marie's streaming right now. And as you can tell, we haven't had a drop in any kind of signal, no Cyloning or anything. So it seems to be working. When you get a DSL line from the company, or from the telephone company, they seem to think that, a maximum use of that DSL line is 2, maybe 3 items.
Right.
Using it. Okay.
That's silly.
And I'm like, and I was talking to the guy, I said, come on. In this day and age, I said, I got like 25 things in this house right now, all competing for the internet. Sometimes not at the same time, but sometimes it does. Uh-huh. And that's where load balancing comes out. And it also fails over. So if one of the DSL lines goes out, you know, the load balancer will fail over to the other one, and you won't notice it. And, so I'm quite happy. It's so far, it's only been since Thursday, but so far, everything's working as planned. And things have gotten a lot better here.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. Time will tell. Yeah, of course, it's not, you know, fuck you speeds that Joel has, but...
yeah, the Joel fuck you network.
Yeah, well,
I just fell into that.
I'm telling you, I was down at my sister's in Pennsylvania, and of course, you know, she's got Fios, and I'm sitting there, and every time I go down there, I gotta do a speed test, and I'm sitting there going, 35 gig down, or 35 MIP down, I think, and 45 up. And uh-huh. I'm like, oh, killing me.
Actually, you know, you got me wondering right now. I think I'll do a speed test.
Yeah, because, you know, our 7 listeners have missed the speed test.
Oh, it's been a long time since we've done one.
I know. So do one.
I'm doing it right now, selecting best server based on ping rate.
Yeah.
It's probably...
Oh, no, he just cut out.
That's disgusting. Hold on a second.
You cut out. Nice. You were Cyloning in the speed test.
Yeah, see? There you go. I Cylon's right out. So, yeah, it's still doing the download speed right now. Yeah, that's just shitty.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, are you losing me?
No, you're okay now.
Okay. Well, right now we're pinging Somerville, Massachusetts. And... Wow, see, that's crappy. I'm 150 MIPS down, and I'm only 55 MIPS up.
Oh, my God. That really
How
sucks.
How do you survive?
And Debbie
That's a mother
streaming.
To do.
I know. And that's, you know, and I'm downloading the Apple iOS right now over the Wi-Fi. Debbie's watching HBO Go. Her phone's on. Two computers. Yeah, it sucks.
Wow. That's terrible. That's terrible. Terrible news. Shut up. Fuck you, Joe. All right, let's go to Barty next.
Yeah, as I've talked about before, I got the 6 Plus because I wanted to see if I could make better use of the larger screen and found out I couldn't. So I finally got around to trading it in and getting the SE, and I'm pretty happy with the size. It fits in a lot of places that the 6 Plus didn't, so it's really nice.
Whoa, where are you trying to put that phone, buddy?
I will never tell. But one thing I liked about it was that it also came unlocked.
Yeah,
so I can swap out the SIM chip and jump on any network I wanted.
That's cool.
And I'll add, I didn't put this in, but since Barty was talking about iPhones, I got to say that based on what I'm hearing about the phone that's coming out this year, the iPhone 7, and based on what I hear about the phone coming out next year, because it's the 10th anniversary, I may skip this year. I'm due to get a new phone this year. And unless I get on that program where I get a new phone every year, and I'm still debating that, I'm looking at what they're planning for this year and saying, nothing's exciting me about it.
Right.
So. Yeah. You know, at the Apple Store, if you bring your phone to the Apple Store, they will pay you a credit towards it. So that when you buy the new phone, you don't pay full price.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to wait for your contract to...
Hello?
It's for a company and...
You
get it for a lower price.
Yeah, you disappeared for a second, Barty, but that's...
Oh.
Yeah, of course, I talked about the new great DSL setup and now...
Yeah, because I only had to pay a couple hundred bucks, and that was only because I got the 64K one instead of the 16. Because I was using like about 20-something, gigs, not...
I always max out. Whatever the phone's got, I max it out because I use it. It never fails. And every time you get software app updates... If you look, they seem to get larger and larger and larger. So.
Yeah, well, there's a rumor that they're going to stop selling the 16 gigs completely.
Really?
Yeah. They're talking about that because it's almost pointless at this point. Yeah.
Probably because the software keeps getting larger and larger.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So, with the new, processor chips and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything. They're updating. So. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see whether I feel the need to upgrade this year or just wait for the 10th anniversary one. So, and see what else is going in on that. Because I'm still happy with my phone. I mean, it's does what I need it to do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Why run out and grab another one? This one does everything I want.
Especially if it doesn't have any new bells and whistles that you know, I'm interested in, you know.
Some shit that I don't need anyway.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad that they're doing away with the earphone plug, yep. But we've talked about that before, so. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, speaking of Apple, I don't know whether any of you guys are using Time Machine, but I have been noticing, and I've did some research, and other people have been having issues with Time Machine, as in it's slowing down. And like a normal Time Machine backup, which says, oh, you've got like, you know, 300 megs to update, right? It'll start. And for me, it won't finish until the next day. Whereas before, it'd be done in like 10 minutes.
Right.
Wow. And I don't know what's, you know, other people have been complaining about this. No answers from Apple. One of the things they suggest you try if it starts slowing down like that is to...
turn it off and turn it back on.
Actually, reboot it in safe mode. And then immediately after it comes up and everything, go ahead and reboot it in regular mode, and that should speed things up. That seemed to work once for me, but only for a little bit, and then it started slowing down again. The other thing that bothers me is the fact that it goes out there. This happens about every 2 weeks. It goes out there and says, oh, we found an issue with your backup, your Time Machine backup, so we got to do a complete new backup of your system. And that's going on every couple of weeks. Now, on a fast time, that can take 24 hours to do. But, you know, with the slowdown, I mean, it was sitting there, I had my computer on, and it was running for a week, and it was only like halfway through.
Wow. Holy cow.
A full backup. And you know, I've been researching, and nobody has answers. Apple doesn't have answers, but definitely other people are having issues with it. And it seems to have started when El Capitan came out. El Capitan. So I don't know what's going on, but I need to back up the system. So now I'm looking into third-party stuff. And currently, as we speak, I am backing up. Using a, I went out and they said the best backups for Macs for 2016, and the highest rated one was called Data Backup. And, so I downloaded the free trial of it, and I'm trying it. It's by a company called ProSoft. And so far, it's working quite well. Of course, I'm doing a complete backup, so it's going to take some time. I started it, when did I start it? Late last night. And it's still going, but it's moving at least. it's running here. And so I'm going to try this, and in particular, I'm waiting for the complete backup to finish, and then I'm going to check to see what the Delta's backups, how long they take, and if it seems to work out nice or it works decently, I may bite the bullet and pay for this, because I'm sorry, right now I have no backup because Time Machine says that the backup that they have is there's something wrong with it, and yeah, so I'm stuck. If something happens to this machine, I have no backup right now, and I can't wait 2 weeks for it to do a complete backup.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's nothing with the network because it's, you know, it's local. I mean, yes, I'm doing it over Wi-Fi right now. You know, I've even had it plugged into plugged into the network, and it was still slow. So,
and let me, while you're talking about doing backups, because you got me thinking.
Yeah.
In your guys' experience, and I'm just looking at Wally World right now, of the external hard drives, like they got a Toshiba 3 terabyte external hard drive, which you can run Time Machine and backup, say the Mac Mini here.
Yeah.
For, you know, $89. Mm-hmm. But have you guys found in your travels, so to speak, one brand that works better than the other, you know, Toshiba versus a Western Digital versus a Seagate?
I've had all of them, and at one time or another, they have all failed. But then external hard drives...
Well, that makes me feel great.
Well, external hard drives can be like that, especially if you move them around, because they're hard drives, and even though they try to protect them. The latest one I have is a Western Digital Passport, I believe it's called. Okay. And it was like $89. Mm-hmm. And it's a 2 terabyte one.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yep.
And it gets the power off the USB, so there's no...
Yep. No cord.
Yeah, and it's very small, it's very convenient, and I have that. So that would be one I recommend. So far, it's been good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it powers down, it parks the heads and everything. Right. So, and it's very convenient. It's very small, very light. You could even fit it in your pants pocket. That's how big it is.
Yeah, I've had Seagates and Western Digitals, and I've never had any problems with any of them. But I think a lot of it, your throughput's going to be dependent upon what type of interface you have. You know, like if you have USB 2 rather USB 3, you know, or what's that other one? The DisplayPort is the fastest you can probably get.
Right.
That's what I've got on my 2013 Mac Pro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this thing. It's like for $89, it's a 3 terabyte drive. It's got the USB 3.0 and USB 2.0. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, for $89, how do you say no to it at 3 terabytes, you know, as a backup for the Mac Mini? So I'm kind of leaning in that direction.
Yeah, that's not bad. And what I found too is Amazon and Walmart have almost the same prices on those.
Exactly.
I was going to go
there tomorrow and pick it up right off the shelf.
Yeah, that's what I did with my last one. But with that said, I've got two dead ones sitting here. and they were bigger ones. They were the old style. They were actually large hard drives, and they had external power that you had to plug into also. But you just got to be careful with those. Eventually buy two. You know? But I'm trying to back up to my NAS, so, you know, I'm doing it across the network. And, again, before L-Crappy 10, I had no issues doing that. It worked flawlessly. Now, it's horrible. So, anyway.
Yeah. All my Time Machine backups are direct to directly connected media.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would be my other option, is to go out and buy another hard drive and use it for backup only. But I'm not guaranteeing that the Time Machine's going to even work when it's directly connected. I don't know what's going on with that, but it just seems to be... I always get this thing, it says calculating time remaining, and it never comes out of calculating time remaining. Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's weird. So, okay, that's that. Michael.
Okay, and I do have a quick comment on the Time Machine. That is, other than occasionally having to, you know, start from scratch over again, I'm not doing it over Wi-Fi. I do it direct connect over 4 different MacBooks here.
Right.
And I haven't, even the one, you know, I've had to restore several times in the last year, and they've all worked when I needed them to do it, and they're all backing up. Sometimes they take, you know, half a day, but they're all backing up. So I don't know. You got me looking. I've got other issues with El Capitan, but that's not one of them. I mean, it's obviously something's changed, but it's still working for me.
Okay, well, it might be because you're doing direct connect. I'm not doing that, and I don't try, but over the network it really sucks.
Yeah, I could see. It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
You know, when I see it take more than a couple hours, I get concerned.
Yeah, especially when you're only backing up like, oh, yuck. You know, it finds 40 megs that it has to update, and it's like, next day? Come on, 40 megs, people. I got podcasts I download
Gigi-me.
That are longer than that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really, 40 megs? Not 40 gig?
No, 40 megs. I'm talking about, you know, it takes all night to do 40 megs.
One bit. Two bits.
Well, I'm wondering whether there's something wrong with the indexing and stuff, because I think it heavily relies on the indexing of your hard drive. And it'll sit there for a long time going through preparing for backup, and then it'll say starting backup, and then usually, you know, after a little bit of time, it tells you how much time is remaining. I never get how much time is remaining. I just, you know, calculating time remaining for backup, and it never comes. So, I don't know.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... didn't mean to drag it out any further. I just like to giving you my experience here, but I have seen it slow down and had to restart it and got it running again.
Yeah.
And I've seen dramatic differences in backup time, but not days. Mm. I see it go more than a few hours. I think something's really broke. Yeah. And I'm generally doing complete backup of the 500 gigs, not 40 megs.
Yeah.
Anyhow, just a quick geek comment, but it actually got a whole lot more response than I was expecting this week. I just kind of felt, oh, I haven't done a Throwback Thursday in quite a while, and it was Wednesday anyhow. But I figured, oh, here's my daily driver. I'll take a picture of my HP 15C engineering calculator that I bought back in 1985, and actually got a lot of comments on it. But I think there was even an entire Griddle Cakes episode from Ron when he thought his had been stolen.
Yes, I remember that.
I was shocked at what these things are going for now. On the used market, they're going for $500 and more.
Wow.
And that HP actually did a reproduction run on them in 2011, and those are going for almost $800 if you can find one.
Wow.
So, anyhow, 1985, a calculator that can do complex numbers and matrix operations. It was a big deal. Programmable calculator. All reverse Polish notation, which will throw most people off off the bat. But I think I'm only on my third set of batteries since 1985. And I use it. I actually use it.
Wow. Incredible.
Amazing. Of course, I don't run a lot of programs. I think if you really ran... program calculations in there, especially the matrix calculations, that would probably use up the batteries faster. But yeah, I think I'm on my third set of batteries, and I just changed those out last year.
Wow, they need to talk to Apple.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Jeez, I guess I got the final one in the geek corner here. I've been actually Anne Marie and I both been trying to check out music streaming. What started services? What started this was the rumor that iTunes is probably going to move away from selling music and potentially going into the music streaming only. And so you won't be able to purchase songs from them anymore. I don't know what's going to happen to the ones you've already purchased. But again, this is only rumors, but I could see them doing that because when you talk to youngins, and not just youngins, but older people too, everybody seems to be doing the streaming music services now, and they don't care whether they own the music or not. And
I don't agree with that.
Well, I didn't either, but now that I'm looking into these things... there's not much difference because, you get a streaming music, you can take songs, you say, oh, I like that song, you can go through the list, you can pick it, you can put it in your list, it's always there. As long as you pay the service, you got those songs. You can even download them to your device and play them if you're not within any kind of range. So it's like you have it. Now, yes... True.
Well, I think of Denzel Washington in the movie The Book of Eli.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Jesus, it's a phenomenal movie. Phenomenal movie. But it's the end of the world kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he has an old iPod.
Yeah.
Now, like, the world is gone, as you know it. And he finds this abandoned house. and he builds a little fire in the living room as he sits on the floor. Mm-hmm. There's no running water. There's no electricity. There was a cat that he shot in the woods with a crossbow, so he had cat for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But his little iPod, he still had a charge on it. And he put the earbuds in his ear, and he sat back and thought about when times before the war, before everything went to hell. And I said to myself, if that was a streaming service, you'd be listening to nothing.
Well, here's my thinking behind this. Because, again, the actual purchase of music may be disappearing. I mean, you can still probably go out and buy a CD if you want, but
yep.
trying to CDs. Find... trying to find a store that sells CDs now is getting far and few. I've got this magic program called Audio Hijack on my thing, and I actually tried this just to see what would happen. Now, I've been checking out iTunes. They're streaming. Thing. I get it free for 3 months. Finding it's a pain in the ass, and I'm not too thrilled with their curated stuff. Then, of course, we've always used Pandora, but I'm not thrilled with their thumbs up, thumbs down, because if you thumbs up a couple of songs, the next thing you know, that's all you're getting is songs like that. They're not mixing as much as they used to. The one right now that I'm trying out is Spotify, which I've been told by young and old that that's the best one out there. Yep. It started in Europe and it finally came over here. So far, I like it. I like the interface. I like the catalog of music. You can download the stuff. If you're not anywhere within network range, you can download the songs to your device and play them. And they have an app for the Mac, and I brought up the app for the Mac, and I loaded a song, and I brought up Audio Hijack, and, well, yes, there is an application for Spotify. I put it there, connected it to the recorder, connected it to the outside speakers. If you know what Audio Hijack, you kind of wire this thing together, and I hit the record button, and as soon as I hit the play button on Spotify, the song played, and I got a pretty much damn perfect recording of it. Yeah, it's an MP3 that's sitting on my computer presently. So there's ways around if you want to actually own or a copy of it.
Right.
There are ways you can do that. So. You know, when we're traveling in long distance in a car, if it's just me, I listen to podcasts. But sometimes I like to listen to music, and I get a little tired of the commercials on Pandora. Again, I don't want to thumbs up things, because then the next thing, Anne-Marie gets in the car and she goes, "Oh, what is this music you're listening to?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of it too." And I thumbs up a couple songs, and now this is all they're giving me, you know. And Spotify, I'm still playing with it, but. I'm leaning towards Spotify, and it costs the same as iTunes music.
Oh, Apple Music?
Yeah, it's the same price. You know, it's like $9.99 a month for a single. If you want the family plan, it's $14.99, I think. And that allows you up to 6 people.
Yeah, I used to use it when it was free.
Well, it still is free. I'm using the free version of it, but they throw in commercials, kind of like Pandora does. You know, they'll display a commercial. They'll, at least when I was playing with it, it played a commercial, and then it gave me a half hour of music.
Now, that's better than terrestrial radio.
Yeah. So,
where, you know, you get 30 minutes of commercials and then 2 songs.
So, what do people out there recommend? You know, come to the Google Plus page, and if you're streaming music, let us know what you're using, because I'm about ready to... I think hit the button on Spotify right now, unless there's something better out there that I don't know about.
Yeah, I'll tell you, both my boys use Spotify, and you know, they've got the situation where they're in and out of coverage, so they've got the Spotify Plus that also allows storage of local songs on the device.
Yeah.
So when they're out of range, And that's, I got to look at which program he's on, but Mark's on, I mean, his is like $13.95 or something like that a month for what he's getting. I still use Pandora. It works fine for what I want to do, but there are times they're listening to things I'd like to hear that I can't get on Pandora. Sorry, Neil. My coworker was the first programmer at Pandora. I had made a note to self this weekend. Like, yeah, next time you talk to Neil, ask him about this thumbs up, thumbs down thing, because you know I have the same problem. I'll pick like the Warren Zevon channel, and it's great. And then it's like, oh, I like the song, and you hit one thumbs up, and all of a sudden the characteristics, the entire channel goes away, and now you're hearing is that one type of music. I'm like, yeah. I must be doing something wrong here.
Yeah, for example, I'm on like the 70s channel, right? And I thumbs up a song on the 70s channel. Well, the next thing I know is I'm getting songs that sound just like that one, except for from the 80s and the 90s. And you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is still the 70s channel. You know, I don't want to hear 80s and 90s music. If I'm listening to the 70s, I just want to hear 70s music. Yeah, so and that's on Pandora, and I don't know what the price is for Pandora. I think that's probably the cheapest one out there.
Yeah, I think I'm still paying $4 a month for it. Yeah,
they're pretty,
but it's great for what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm willing to shell out a little bit of money for it, but I'd like to get the GUI, the interface to Spotify, both on the iPhone and on the Mac. So that's a plus. So anyway, okay. Well, if you guys have any of our 7 listeners out there, come onto the Google Plus page and fill us in what you think. With that, I think it's time to go into Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and Barry, why don't you lead us off?
Well, this happened a couple of weeks ago. I finally, since I'm going to be using the Prius for, where is it? Where the hell is it?
Got to find the button.
Prius. What's the button?
Oh, come on.
Since I'm planning to use the Prius until, you know, it's well into its hundreds, thousands of miles, at least 300,000 miles. And, of course, it's a 2005, so that was in the days when cars didn't have auxiliary jacks or Bluetooth. I decided to bite the bullet and get a Grom BT3.
Nice.
And that is a device that adds both Bluetooth and an auxiliary port, and actually a USB port too. It plugs into the back of the standard Prius radio, as long as you don't have the extra, they have one where you have a CD player, but then they have a multi-CD player. Yeah, multi-disc CD player. If you didn't get the multi-disc feature, then there's a plug in the back, and this thing plugs into that back. And nice. So I plugged that in, and it took me a while to rip apart the dashboard, which is all clips, so it's just like, pull.
You can take it apart with a spudger.
Yes, and that's what I actually used one to get it loose and pulled the vents out, and you take out the glove compartment, and I got it back there, and the box actually, you know, if you remember my glove compartment, it has a small upper glove compartment and a lower bottom glove compartment. Well, it actually fits, and it's sitting on the upper in the upper glove compartment, the actual box, and the wire goes back in there. And it came with a microphone, so that is attached to the side of my monitor, and it's it works great. The first long haul I used it was down to Pennsylvania and back, and it was so nice. No interference because of the old one I used to have that, you know, was broadcasted on FM. And
so you got no FM transmitter anymore.
No, it's nice. It's so nice. And the Bluetooth just works fine. You know, I have the phone in there, and it just automatically connects up. Crystal clear sound. The phone works great with it. The microphone's pointed right at me. So when I was using Bluetooth before with the other device, it was down below my knees where because the device was there, and that's where the built-in mic was. So I'd be screaming.
Yes, I know. Many times I know.
Yeah. But now the microphone's right up, it's wonderful. I should have done it a long time ago.
So, how about that?
So that's my news. Did I mention before about I did do the facepalm about mounting my okay. I don't want to repeat myself, but yes, okay, I did that last show. Yeah, that's working out flawlessly too. It's great. Everything's great. The Prius is just wonderful. Yeah. All right. Back to you, Joe.
Basically, I touched on this earlier. I kind of went a little bit out of order, but they were relevant with digging holes. But the garage we dug, the 150 foot long, 2 foot deep hole, and power is all the way to the garage now. And it just needed to do the final tie-ins, but it's on the auspice of adding a panel and putting in the receptacles and putting in a lift.
Cool.
So, you know, it'll be fun just to be able to wrench 100% at home rather than going and taking cars to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, if I got to, you know, swap tires or what have you, if you end up getting, you know, your studded snow tires mounted on a separate set of steel rims.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come up to the house, you put it up on the lift. Boom, 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 20 minutes, it's done. Because they're already balanced. Just bolt them on. And it's a lot nicer than crawling around on the floor.
Yes. Definitely.
You know, at 45, it's like, you know what? If I don't have to crawl on the floor and I can afford to put a lift in, I'm putting a lift in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's all I got. Aside from that, let's see. Daisy blew another brake line. Yeah, so we had one side fixed, and it blew the next day on the way back.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, screw it. We're swapping out and replacing all the lines. I found out the root cause of why Rambo idles like shit. Still haven't fixed it, though, which was the O2 sensors, upstream O2 sensors on a Dodge Ram pickup truck. Yeah, that's it. Goldfinger runs awesome.
Hey, man. Okay. I mentioned both of them. Okay, there, I combined the two.
Yes, you did, and a fine job you did, sir. Mashup.
A bottom gear mashup.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. Michael, what do you have?
Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge Anthony's reference to Bottom Gear in one of his latest love-hate things, and the story he then tells had both Chris and I laughing hysterically in the truck as we were going to town. But I'm not going to spoil that here.
No. Although
chances are he's gone 100 episodes since between now and the time this gets released, so who knows. This is Anthony we're talking about here. But
podcasting king.
Yes, the podcasting king.
It's a podcast. What
they say, the Mark Maron of Canada, I think they called him something like that. But no, I'm here to talk about Memorial Day. In my still post-paramedic haze, Monday night, I decided, I think I'm going to grill out. So I go out to light the grill, and I need charcoal. Okay. So I'll go back in the house and tell Chris and Mark and David. I'll just be back in a few minutes. I'm just going to go to town and get some charcoal. Okay. So off to the Gaslight General Store, where you still cannot buy generals, and get a bag of charcoal and head up to the counter just in time to see a gentleman up at the counter asking if anybody has any jumper cables. And they're like, I might have some in my Jeep. Well, wait a minute. I don't have my Jeep. I got my son's Jeep, so let me go check. So I ran out there, and sure enough, I didn't have jumper cables in David's Jeep. But Kelly, behind the desk there at the general store, said, no, you can borrow mine. So I said, oh, okay. So the guy said, well, our van is down at the marina. If you don't mind giving us a jump. And they're like, okay, I can do that. No problem. So he hops in, and we head down to the marina. And as I think I've mentioned, we're entering prime black fly season here. Mm-hmm. And it was actually, it had warmed up on Memorial Day. I think it was in the low 70s. So we get down to the marina. Black flies are everywhere. This gentleman's wife and his kids are in the van because they're getting eaten alive anytime to try to get out of it. So it's getting kind of warm and a little gamey in the van at that point.
Yeah.
And pull up next to the van with the Jeep, put the jumper cables on and connect them. And the first thing I go is, uh-oh. He said, what? I said, I saw no sparky when I connected these jumper cables up, which says either something's totally dead or your battery's fine. So he gets in, turns the key, and I hear click, click, and I don't see any jump on my ammeter. Uh-huh. And have him turn his headlights on. Headlights are fine. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, your battery clamps are pretty loose. Let me run back home, get my tools. I just finished putting some more parts in my neighbor's dock, but I didn't have my full tool set with me. So ran back to the house, grabbed my tool set, came out, retightened all the battery clamps, and I brought a voltmeter with me this time and put the voltmeter across the battery and had him turn the key. And the battery was at 12.8 volts, and he turned the key, and the battery was still at 12.8 volts.
Huh.
So, but it was going clink, clink. It's like, well, you either got a bad cable or a bad solenoid or a bad starter here.
Yeah.
So, in the black fly infested weather, I climbed underneath the van and I said, start clicking, because I didn't even know where the starter was in this van. And,
yeah.
And I was on the wrong side the first time, of course.
Of course.
And I swung around to the other side of the van, started to crawl underneath. I took a look in. I said, there's your problem. He said, what? I said, well, I see your starter cable, except it's no longer attached to your starter.
That could be a problem.
It had corroded right off the connector, where the connector meets the cable. It just corroded right off and cleanly off. So I said, well, I do have the right wrench for this, so I undid the nut, because this is a Ford where the solenoid was right on the starter.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I unbolted it from that, got the lug, so that I at least knew what size of something I was looking for. And I said, you know, I probably have something in my garage. Give me about half an hour. I'll be back.
Yeah.
So I go back to the garage, and I think, what am I going to do for this guy? It's, you know, Memorial Day evening. He doesn't want to have this thing towed all the way back. His family's miserable.
Yeah.
Go into the garage, and I find that, you know, anytime I throw out one of these battery boosters, I always scavenge parts off of them because they have nice things on them, like battery clamps and heavy duty cables and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's got the alligator clamp on the end for jumping a battery, but the other end of it had exactly the right size spade lug for his starter. So I cut that back about 5 inches, cut it off, pre-stripped the wire.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grabbed my X-Acto box because I knew the cable underneath this thing was going to be hard as a rock.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so I got another piece of cable with a lug on it. I'm going to be able to strip the insulation off of that. Ah, I know what I need. I went over to my marine supply, and I have a plumber's clamp for the hose fitting.
Yep.
So went back, and with a roll of Scotch 33 tape, I spread the... I climbed underneath, cut off the end of that lug that was corroded.
Yeah.
Cut back about 2 inches, not quite, inch and a half of insulation. Put the plumber's clamp over the starter cable on. Oh, I also disconnected the battery. That's always a good thing on a starter cable because it's live all the time. Shoved both cables together so the copper interweaved in between the two.
Yeah.
Brought the fuel clamp down and then tightened that up really tight to make a good mechanical connection in between both cables. So they're now shoved together, wrapped the crap out of it with electrical tape.
Yep.
And then I wrapped that to another cable so it was away from the car body and away from the exhaust system, and wrapped it again, bolted it together, put the battery connector on, tightened it down, crossed my fingers, and I said, if this works, get home, get it to the shop right away. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. This is Kiwana Engineering. It's Uper Engineering, but it should get you home. And he turned the key in. Vroom! One very happy family. Turns out he's a reporter for the newspaper down there. So hopefully they gave... He couldn't believe the response he was getting from Copper Harbor. It's like, well, you know, welcome to our home here. Thanks for coming up to visit. Say something nice.
Yeah. Say something nice about us.
I'm sure he will.
2 hours later, I come in the door with a charcoal.
Your family's used to that.
This is just like an Alice's Restaurant story. And I walked in the door, and they're like, we didn't hear the pager go off. And I'm like, well, that's because there wasn't a call. Then I told them what happened.
Oh, jeez.
So that's my bottom here. And by the way, after listening to last week's show, I realized that I talked about Fred two episodes in a row. So I won't talk about Fred the third episode in a row until he gets done with the hydraulic pump. Actually, I just did. So I guess that is three episodes in a row.
Woo, Fred!
Hydraulic pump isn't fixed yet. Yep, go Fred. Go Fred.
All right. Okay, that brings us to entertainment last month. And welcome to Entertainment Last Month, where we review shows that are new to us, but are, well, could be years old, maybe even decades. But, Barty, we start off with you.
Yeah, a live concert show in Syracuse. Last summer, they built a brand new amphitheater.
So you're going to be telling us about a live concert that happened last summer? That fits.
No, it happened this summer. Okay. The amphitheater was built last summer.
Oh, okay.
They're getting it going for the year, and it's on the shores of Onondaga Lake on the Syracuse side. And the town that's on the opposite end is called Liverpool. So it was kind of ironic that the first artist that we had this year to play at the new amphitheater was Ringo Starr.
Cool.
It's really kind of funny because he made mentions to the fact that Liverpool was across the pond, and that was where he was from. He says, but not that Liverpool and not that pond.
<That's>
on his Facebook page, he was posting pictures of the highway signs, you know, saying the exits to Liverpool and stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Oh, that's great. So you went to the concert?
Oh, no. I avoid crowds. I just thought it was kind of neat that, you know, Ringo Starr was here performing outside of a town called Liverpool.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Well, I'm next, and I just got to tell you that, Joel, you're probably already aware of this, but Wayward Pines is back.
I've been watching the commercials on cable TV.
They actually have already had two episodes on.
Seriously?
Yes. I watched them last night, back to back. So do you have?
I'll have to marathon, man.
Do you have them?
No.
Do you need them?
Sure.
All right, I'll see what I can do for you. So, but yes, it's 3 years into the future, and pretty much a whole new cast. Well, no, some of the old cast is there.
But I know the blonde teacher; she was still in there. I saw her in the commercial.
Yeah, yeah. There's a. I won't do any spoilers. But
sheriff is still.
Huh?
Not Matt Dillon, the other sheriff, the original sheriff.
The original share?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. He hasn't been in any of them. So, I thought the original sheriff got killed. That's how Dillon became the sheriff.
Well, so did I, but I saw a commercial with it. The guy...
No, I think that's another guy.
All right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's they've added about half of the cast is new.
Okay.
So, but they're continuing on, and it kept my interest for two episodes.
So. Okay.
And finally, and this is the old one. I was thumbing through HBO Now.
And we're doing something.
Yeah, in the series.
I don't think we want to hear about it.
And I came across Band of Brothers, and I said, you know, I watched the first episode of that, and I was going to watch the rest of it because I did find it the first episode anyway good, but somehow I got off and I never watched it. And I said, what the hell? It's still here. So I watched the first episode again because it's been a couple of years since I watched it. Excuse me. And still liked it. And I'm ready to watch the second one. And it's fitting that I chose this week to do this because, of course, the whole thing starts on the D-Day invasion. And, of course, that's on Monday here, the anniversary of D-Day. Also, the anniversary of my 40th graduation anniversary, high school anniversary. 40 years on June 6th, 1976, at 6 p.m. 6-6-76 at 6 p.m. That was when I graduated from high school. All those many years ago. Soon. So.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm watching Band of Brothers as if it's new because, well, it is. It's new to me.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. Anybody else got anything? This is a long show.
Just want to add that the hockey game regulation has run out and the game is tied and we're going to overtime.
Oh, wow.
Fighting for it.
By the time anybody hears this, it'll probably, the whole series will be over.
Oh, it will be. Yeah, and we'll be waiting for the Super Bowl.
Oh, I got one little tidbit.
Yes.
I had the colossal misfortune of watching the first 50 minutes of the movie Slap Shot 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 50 minutes of my life I will never get back. Slap Shot was on. And I have it on the hard drive, and I was watching it on regular TV. And I went, you know, it's good. I love that freaking movie. And I saw, Slap Shot 2. I'm like, I didn't even know they made a Slap Shot 2.
I'd never heard of it.
Yep, with Stephen Baldwin.
Mm.
So that kind of sets
the... Oh, that's got to be special.
Yo, you got it, brother.
Extra and special.
I started watching this. What a pile of shite that... I mean, you talk about, I mean, bad. It sets a whole new level of shitty movie, the shitty movie scale. So if at any at all possible chance that you should come across this and the opportunity to watch it, gouge out your eyes. Trust me, you'll be doing yourself a favor.
Okay. I'll remember that. Slap Shot 2.
Is full of dew.
Yes.
All right, so I think we'll call this show, and want to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what you're doing. Stay safe, especially you OCONUS guys, and we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Till then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. And I didn't get to do my annual Memorial Day pet peeve. I did it at work this year, though, because people, bosses were sending out and saying, I want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. And I sent an email out that says, I'm not going to wish anybody a happy Memorial Day because Memorial Day is for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. It's for the ones who... you know, gave up their lives so that we could have this great country. And don't thank a vet on Memorial Day because that's what Veterans Day is for. You know, They are still around. So
you worded that so elegantly. You know, I thought of you on Memorial Day, and what you said last year. I'm still alive.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And and I wasn't in during wartime either. So I was peacetime military. Really. Well, there was a couple skirmishes, but you know.
Grenada.
not in Japan. where I was. although, you know, okay. Well, anyway, so just remember that, and I like to politely correct people when they say Happy Memorial Day. I say, well, thank you, but really, you know, and just explain to them. It's a, you know, have a happy weekend, or hope you have a good weekend is good, but you know, really what you should be doing is stopping and thinking about those military members that gave the ultimate sacrifice, and also their families, because they suffered too with that.
I was just gonna jump in if I may.
Yeah.
Something that did come up on Broken News, you just made me think of it. But the timing of the Barack Hussein Obama, right around Memorial Day, apologizing to the Japanese for Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings, I take offense to, especially around Memorial Day. And I just wanted to throw that out there, where he apologized. Oh, we should have never done that. Dude, a lot of American and allied lives got lost. You remember a little thing called Pearl Harbor? Yeah. When they wanted to take over the world? Yeah. Well, you picked the fight. We finished it. Yeah. And I'm embarrassed and ashamed of that individual. Because no apology should have been extended, in my personal opinion.
I
know I'm not alone on that.
No, I agree too. And one thing, and I did spend 3 years over in Japan, and did pick up a little bit of the Japanese way of life and things like that. And particularly, maybe not so much now, modern day Japan, but back then, there was no such thing as surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would have continued, it would have been a lot of lives, much more than actually died by releasing those bombs. But that's the only way we could convince them that this war is over.
I looked at it as the slap in the face to all those who you should be thinking of on Memorial Day, and his impeccable timing.
Oh,
that no class, man. No class. Doesn't have any pride in this country whatsoever. I can't wait for this guy to be gone. But thank you. Like you said, to the families of those whose family members passed away serving our country.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so we do have a musical guest this week. I decided, because it's warm, and I was thinking of tropical drinks. And I heard this actually when I was testing out one of the music services. This came on. I decided everybody should have a chance to hear Harry Nilsson's song "Coconut." So,
Harry, you know what else makes it rather a good choice was that a coconut bra was being sold at up in Copper Harbor.
That's right.
Uh-huh. See, awesome, it ties Barry. In.
So. Our musical guest tonight is the late Harry Nilsson and his song "Coconut."
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, "Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take?" I said, "Doctor, to relieve this bellyache." I said, "Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take?" I said, "Doctor, to relieve this bellyache."
get it straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drag the boat up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drag the boat up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drag the boat up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called your doctor, woke him up, said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, to relieve his bellyache. I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said,
Samson, speak. Good boy.